Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
This is just a little song to my fans and friends to tell them a little about me and what I'm trying to tell them.
Yeah, all together now. The weekend's here. Have a can of beer.
The following takes place between 3 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Everybody, to the best of Don and Mike, Bodam, B-O-D-A-M, best of Don and Mike, it's Friday! Woo! All right! Yeah, flushing the format Friday, everybody! Weekend's here, have a can of beer, we've gone through all of that. I'm your host, Legendary Joe Arnger, with you on this beautiful, beautiful Friday afternoon. We got some great weather finally here on the East Coast. Hope the weather's good where you are today, because I'll tell you what, we got a great best of a heaping, steaming, playful, fresh, the kind that sticks to the side of the bowl, if you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, getting right back into it. Oh, by the way, have a great weekend. Oh, let's get into it. Let's get into it. I can play Stones all day long, but that's what satellite radio is for. So, Don and Mike returning Tuesday, July 11th, by the way, and for all things going on, Don and Mike, check out donandmikewebsite.com. All right. So yesterday, Don was talking about going to the Brian Wilson concert, and he did go, and he recaps the Brian Wilson concert on the best of Don and Mike on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. I was at Wolf Trap last night in the front row of the upper deck, And I was wondering if you'd agree with me that it sounded really good, but Brian Wilson was as freaky as ever.
No, I want to discuss Brian Wilson at the concert last night
that
I went to see. Thank you, whoever you are. I've talked about Brian Wilson for a long time on this show. I called him a genius and the Beethoven, and I've played the tapes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have. Yes, you have.
I'm not going to play the tapes anymore, and I don't care if anybody says I'm a pussy, you can kiss my ass.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why. I went to see him last night with my kid, and all right, it's an emotional time for me, blah, blah.
Sure, you
know that. But
right.
I went to see him last night, and I've seen him on TV, and I've seen him on DVD, and last night he was more together than I've seen him in any performance in the last 5 years. He does have teleprompters, computer screens,
uh-huh,
right on his keyboard, and he has to look, and he has to see the words, even to the song. You would think that he would know all the words, like, in my room.
Yeah,
right. They're all his songs.
Yeah,
right.
you cut him a slack burger when he wrote the songs. He can read the lyrics.
Uh-huh. Brian Wilson did not freak me out last night. Last night was, the greatest elixir. Oh, what a tonic this was for me last night.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
First off, I was going with my son, and these were tickets that my wife had gotten a long time ago.
Right.
And you know what the Brian Wilson's music has meant to me. And we were going to meet him allegedly before or after the show.
Right.
And I was uptight about that. And I was uptight about, frankly, like that guy said, what I was going to see. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what I was going to get.
Sure.
So we got there, and there's a lot of people that I want to thank, because we're going to get to some stuff that, at least to me, is important. A guy named Chris out of Wolf Trap. Also a guy named Pete. I'm not using their last names.
Right.
And also Brian Wilson's management team. When we got to Wolf Trap last night, where Brian Wilson was doing his show,
mm-hmm,
they got on the walkie-talkies, and they got us the fancy parking, and then they said, let's see your tickets. And Frida had bought tickets like 6 months ago, and then bought real good tickets. And
mm-hmm,
they said, yeah, your tickets are good, but wouldn't you rather be 10 rows back instead of 20 rows back, and instead of being like off in the left corner, wouldn't you really rather be sitting right up front?
Sure.
So we said, are you kidding?
Oh, that's great.
Hold on, everybody's calling about. I bet it's either Brian Wilson or my washer. Hello?
Hello.
Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike.
Hey.
Hey, I had that same problem last week with my washer. My kitchen.
I knew it. It was either one or the other.
I knew it.
It was one of the...
This house is so gold crazy.
Okay, what's the problem?
There's a vacuum tube on the top of the washer. If it comes out, what happens is the water just overflows the whole tub.
When did you stop listening to that?
Excuse me?
Vacuum tube.
Vacuum tube is when I stopped listening.
Yeah, as soon as he said, there's A, because I thought, I'm not going to retain anything from that.
No, he lost me. No.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike Radio Gods.
Hi there.
That is a big potential for mold to grow. I would highly recommend you cutting out the drywall and steeping up all the water.
I would highly recommend you pucker up and kiss my big white ass.
All right.
All right.
Okay, don't say I didn't tell you.
All right, Bob Vila. Listen, I've not even seen the goddamn thing yet, okay? My son just called me and told me what's going on. He's there, the neighbor's there, the women that don't speak English are there.
I live in a 100-year-old house, you know. I've got mold that has babies. Right? I have mold that has middle-aged children.
Several generations of mold.
Yes, absolutely.
So about Mr. Brian Wilson.
Yes.
So we get these great seats, and it's my son and I, and we have a beer before the game, because it was like going to a football game. And we sit down, and they're playing the music, and I'm wondering what's going to happen. And here's the great thing about going to see Brian Wilson, is that because he does not speak a lot, you get a lot of music.
A lot of music concentrated into a shorter show.
He started at 8 o'clock.
Right.
And the whole first half of the show is Beach Boys music.
Mm-hmm.
And the average Beach Boys record is about 2.5 minutes long. And
right,
even if they jazz it up, it ends up being 3 minutes. He must have done 15 songs.
Just one right after the
other. One right after the other. His ability to sing on many songs, to be honest, is of course it's not what it was.
Right.
Of course. But what I appreciated about his performance that I had never seen before was that when there are notes that he can't hit, he doesn't pretend. He points. He points to the guy on stage. Last night it was the guy in the white shirt.
And the sound is great. He's got some good singers with him.
Right. His backups are phenomenal. The guy still got the chops on, like, In My Room.
Right.
He said, that's just Brian Wilson. There were no backups. That's just him. He was phenomenal. So we're watching this, and it's just great, and it gets to be intermission. And then the second half of the show, he did the whole album Smile. He just does the entire album nonstop. And then he did California Girls and you know, like five encores, and then that's it. And
what's he finish with? What's the one he finished?
Fun. It was Help Me Rhonda was towards the end.
Big standing ovations at the end of that.
Yeah. And really, for Brian Wilson, for anyone who's seen Brian Wilson before, it was refreshing for me to see them actually put a guitar on Brian Wilson, watch him get up from behind the keyboards. And that when they were doing Johnny B. Goode, he was actually up dancing on stage, playing the guitar and dancing.
So he's come an amazingly long way from when he used to have to be carried onto the stage because he was in such bad shape.
Absolutely. So now it's after the show. He's done the show. He's done the encores. It's great. I'm ecstatic. And I know that it's going to be a bit of a CF going back to meet him. And I had even had a conversation with Rob earlier in the day saying, God, you know, seriously, for me, meeting Brian Wilson, who is the biggest musical influence in my stupid life, would be a gigantic thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what if it was awful? What if it was like when I met Elton John, who I don't give a rat's ass about, but remember I got a cold, clammy, Liza Minnelli-like handshake from him?
Yeah, your backstage experience with Elton John was wonderful, where he just put the hand out, and there was absolutely no pressure, which is the worst kind of handshake in the world.
And they really said, like, don't look at him in the eye, and it was like they said, in essence, in that experience, it was, how would you like to wait for an hour for the chance to walk by and have someone slap your open palm with a dead fish?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. The diva.
So, this couldn't be more different. They had people backstage, a small group, I'd say 30 people, and they immediately divided into the haves and have-nots. There were the people with the stickers and the people with the wristbands.
Mm-hmm.
And we were with the sticker people. And they said to the wristband people, I don't know, it was something where, like, you know, he'll walk by or something, or you can wave at him or something. And
the
wristband people would, like, if he feels like it, he's going to say hello to you, but be very careful. And I was thinking this could be awkward when these guys, especially this guy Pete, came by and grabbed Bart and I and said, hey, come here. Come back here right now. You two, come back this way.
Just you two.
So we get pulled back. I say, what's up? And he says, we talked to Brian. He's ready. He's up for it.
Okay.
So they prepped me on this before I met this guy, which is why I'm not going to play those tapes anymore, because I had a real personal connection with Brian Wilson last night. They said, you're going to get maybe a variety of personalities. You know, that he's not always good with people.
Mm-hmm.
If he says something that you don't follow, just say, okay. If he asks you to leave or says goodbye, don't be offended.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I'm walking in thinking, really, I don't know. You know what I'm.
Thank you.
It's gonna be very weird.
What I'm gonna be walking into, right? I mean, I this is what I imagine.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm nervous, and my heart is beating. Yeah. You know, and he's and coincidentally, the show that he did last night, the Beach Boys song that they did not do was "Don't Worry, Baby,"
right?
Which was my song with Frida.
Right.
But the one that he closed with was a song called Love and Tenderness. I hope that's the title. It's a solo song by Brian Wilson. A very obscure song.
But you knew it?
Yeah, well, and I knew it because my kid had found it on some soundtrack
album. All right, great.
Love and Tenderness. I don't remember the name, but whatever. Well, I just thought it was weird that out of all the songs he could have ended with, he ended with a song that probably only three people in the crowd knew. And,
right.
And maybe more, but I felt...
one of them. Yeah.
I felt... You know, something, and I'm not going to get all John Edwards on your ass, but I felt like, okay, this is kind of spooky.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So we go back, and we're walking through the backstage area, and they say, okay, you ready? I say, yeah. He says, wait right here. Walk in the room, he says, Don, Bart, come on in. We come in, and there's Brian Wilson, and he's
sitting, standing.
He is sitting, but he stands up, and he comes over. And I don't know who was in the room. I was told later it was just family members.
Right.
Like, I don't know, mother and aunt, something like that.
Okay.
Maybe a wife, a girlfriend, a kid. Three people in the room, and Brian Wilson. And they introduce him to me, and he looks me dead in the eye, and we shake hands, and I start to tell him what his music has meant to my life. And I'm telling you, I wasn't talking to the guy. You know,
right.
I had an incredible... very intense conversation with this guy, telling him about the music that he wrote and what it meant to me, and that the first rock and roll song my kid ever learned was Surfing USA, and there is my kid right here. And then I told him about freedom. I told him way too much, and I know that I was going a mile a minute, and the people around him were looking at me, and I was getting the feeling they were like, you know, you are overloading him with this, but I was not. He took it all in. And then said, you know, I'm very sorry for your loss.
Right.
I'm glad my music has touched you. Reached out, touched me on the shoulder, and then started asking me questions about what's your favorite song? And, oh, I know what it was. It was about Surfing USA. Was that really the first song that your kid ever learned? I said, yes. And he would sing it wrong. He would sing Surfing in the USA.
Right.
And I wanted him to go Surfing USA. And at that point, Brian Wilson goes, everybody going surfing USA. Like he had to remember it himself. And then he said, yeah. And then he looked at me and he goes, that is a good rock and roll song. And I said, yeah, it is. Right. He said, what other ones do you like? And it's like, I couldn't believe this. I'm standing here with, you know, the guy that I consider to be Beethoven, no matter what dumb tapes I've played.
So only recently it seems like he has come to really clue in on people like you who he's influenced, and he seems to be digging it, right?
Yes. It was definitely the happiest 10 minutes that I've had since in the last month.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, he could not have been a better guy. I feel like the biggest creep for ever playing those tapes of him, mm-hmm. because I know how I felt about him, and we do a show and everything. But I'm telling you, last night there was no need for Brian Wilson to meet me or to give two rats' asses about me. And what is so great is that we had this time together, and then they said, you know, well, do you want your picture with Brian or do you want an autograph? And I said, you know, yeah. I don't need it. You know, I met the man.
The time,
you know, I
mean, you know, best thing, yeah.
I got a hug from Brian Wilson.
Yeah, and you get to tell him the way you feel. You know, how many people get a chance to do that?
So I'm in the car and we're going home, and we are about 10 minutes from home. The phone rings and I see it's the guy from the concert, and I just assume that he is saying, you know, was everything okay?
Right.
You know, was your ass kissed enough? So I pick a place, but I say, wow, God, that was like one of the best nights of my life. He said, Brian is just asking where you are. So I'm thinking, like, hello?
Yeah.
Impossible.
Yeah, can this be real?
Right. And I said, well, why would he be asking? He said, because he realized that that he didn't give Bart a copy of his CD and DVD, and he wanted to autograph them to Bart, and he was upset. Happily upset, but he wanted to make sure that they would get to me to get the stuff to me. And I just walked away from that, and I thought, you know, Jesus H. Christ.
How much do you think he would have accomplished if he hadn't had the problems that he had? Do you think he would have been, you know, I hate to use the example of an Elton John, but do you think he would have been like an Elton John in the regard that he would be...
What, that he'd like, like guys?
No, that he would be going through the decades and modifying and reinventing himself and creating
Love and Mercy.
Stuff.
That's the name of this. Love and Mercy. I think that's the name. Yeah, he's making music, Mike. I don't know. See, here's the thing about Brian Wilson. I don't know if all those songs would have been as great if he wasn't as...
Like when he was writing them.
Effed up. Like, would Good Vibrations be what it is if he didn't lock himself in a room for 9 months and get high and figure out a way to stack tracks?
Right.
But anyway, it was just, I've been fortunate in this stupid job to meet a lot of people who I consider to be important. And this one blew me away. I mean, when Bart and I were walking out of the place, I was just... I mean, I wasn't like crying. I was happy. I was like,
good.
I said, do you freaking believe that? I said, God damn, we're talking to Brian Wilson about music, and I mean, and he wasn't a dick, and he definitely was not.
Thank you,
like that. I mean, the guy was cool, and it was eye contact, and
right.
It was. I was just like, yeah, effing A.
That's fantastic.
That's so great. It couldn't have been nicer, and it was.
I know that I was thinking last night when you were leaving, I was hoping that the experience would be a 10. You know, I was hoping that you would have that. And that's great. And I'm happy for Brian Wilson, too, because, as I said, being an eyewitness to seeing what phase he was going through the last time I saw him in person, it's cool that he's you know, that he's come out of that.
Yeah, and the songs were just great.
And the band good, the good, you know.
Oh, kick ass. Mm-hmm. He got a bunch of guys that sound like the Beach Boys, yeah. And he's got a horn section, and he's percussionists, and he's got a pretty incredible troupe, and I could go on and on, but I was just blown away by the fact he doesn't know me from Adam. I'm pretty sure he doesn't even remember being on our show.
I wondered about that.
But for whatever reason, last night, you know, some divine intervention came through, and there I was with him, and meant a lot to me, and I was just very glad to be able to meet the guy.
Did they have any food backstage?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, good.
They did.
What was a good spread?
I didn't eat anything, Mike, but...
you know me.
They had... Oh, let me see. Maybe like a chicken salad on the little tiny buns. Like
right.
On the little, you know, yeah. like
little finger sandwiches.
Like appetizer buns.
Yeah.
And then there were, of course, lots of M&Ms and soft drinks.
And acid, right?
And yeah, acid and yeah. H.
And, good. Usual.
And some crystal meth.
Fantastic.
And
that adds to the backstage experience.
All in the writer.
On the fire trucks and the hookers. and they were so nice, so nice, bordering on stupid, based on who they gave these passes to. They gave my son and I all access passes.
So you got a chance to wander around?
Well, after we had met Brian Wilson, Bart said to me, "Dad, you know, we can really go anywhere we want." I said, "Yeah, you're right." So we just kind of walked around for a little while.
Did he have a bus?
I don't know, but yeah, and don't say it. It was a short bus.
I was not. I am being reverent like you are. I am not. I know this meant a lot to you. And I
don't know if Brian Wilson had a bus or not. All I know is that Bart and I had the thrill of walking around while other people were staring at us as if somehow we were aligned with the show.
Oh, right? Very good.
We really enjoyed the... Ha, hey, we're in here,
right? Sure.
Right now, you're out there.
Oh, so they were like looking at you and from a level where they...
Right? Hey, everybody, it's hot out there. Guess what? It's cold in here, and there's booze. Oh, but the biggest problem I had last night, seems all the problems in my life have to do with numbers.
Okay.
There's the number three problem.
Yes.
Yes.
Number two has always been a good, loyal number to me.
Mm-hmm.
But number one, here is the number one problem with number one last night. I drank a lot of Diet Vanilla Coke and water during the show.
Right.
I drove all the way out to the to the concert place and waited and met the guys and got the passes.
You
and
were
then,
in pain.
And then got in line and had to wait in line.
Oh, my
and
God.
It was like 100 degrees. And when I finally got up there, nothing would happen. And this has nothing to do with Frida's passing or what's going on with me sexually. This is what's known as stadium stuff.
It's a term that I coined. It was used, you know, basically developed in stadiums all around the country when you have a line of people in back of you. Stadium stop is when you suddenly experience pressure for a function that normally you have no pressure with. You normally are by yourself, you're doing that. When people are looking at you, you tend to lock up.
So I've got to go so bad that as I'm standing in line, I'm really doing this thing where, like, I'm up
the
on
dance.
The foot.
Yeah, you know what? Let me tell you about stadium stop also, in the condition you are in. It's also physiological. Everything has expanded down there, and it's shutting it down. It's, mm-hmm. There's a, right?
Mm-hmm. So
you can have
yeah.
that experience.
So I'm standing at the urinal. I'm looking at the cake. And
the urinal cake.
And
angel food.
Just like with the other problem, nothing's going on.
But that's not related.
No, I know it's not related, but I'm feeling the pressure. And so what I do is, like, you know what? Maybe it is an actual pressure issue. I will simply unbuckle my shorts.
Uh-huh.
And at that point, I'm...
shorts fell to the floor.
Oh, no, they didn't. They did not. But I look like the world's biggest queer because...
How many people are in back of you?
In the line that I was in, 14.
Oh, my God.
And there was, like, you know, it was like almost on a highway where you've got,
right.
like, 8,000 lanes merging into one.
Mm-hmm. They're individual urinals, though, right? It's not the trough?
No, yeah, but there's no partition between.
So right, trough. Right.
So I'm standing there, and while I'm standing there, you know, like, five guys have come and gone on either side mm-hmm. of me. And
waiting for the guy in back of you to say something, yo, pal.
Yeah, so finally I said, oh... All right, well, screw it, this will never do. And I go and I wash my hands, why I don't know, I go outside, and Bart says, do you feel better? And I said, no, I couldn't go. I couldn't go. And he said, why? I said, stadium stop. And he said, oh, well, what's up with that? I said, you know what? I'm going to drink a beer.
because I never drink beer. I never drink beer. But I said,
me neither.
I know that.
Nice try.
I know beer make it go. Beer is going to make that engine go.
Right. Sometimes beer makes you go when you don't want it.
So I got...
That made Rob laugh.
Look at that.
I got me the big 24-ounce Heineken keg can.
Oh, fantastic.
So you can't drink this at your seat.
Right.
So I said to Bart, what I'm going to do...
It's a hoppy beer.
I'm going to... to power drink this beer, and then I'm going to wait a couple of seconds until my bladder is ready to explode. And if I time this perfectly, it's going to be right as Brian Wilson's getting ready to go on stage,
right
about 7:30. So we're sitting down in the grassy area there, having something to eat, and I'm having this, and I pounded that beer right back, and incidentally, what's the fascination with that, Mike?
With beer?
Can I tell you something? I drank 24 ounces of beer on a stomach. All I had to eat yesterday was. A lean pocket and whatever those crappy shakes are that I have.
Slim Fast. Like that.
That's all I had. Uh-huh. So you would think 24 ounces of beer, I would be drunk as a schoolgirl.
Well, you're talking to the wrong guy here. I can't relate to that at all. You know, because really, 24 ounces of beer, for me, that's part of the setting of the table.
Well, I might as well have had milk.
You're saying you didn't get any buzz when you drank the 24 ounce beer.
I'm with you. I get too full. I get full before I get the buzz.
You know,
I think most people do. Beer. That's what beer does to you. But if you drink 14 of them, you'll get that buzz.
See, I couldn't hold 14.
So what I'm doing is I'm drinking this beer, and also I'm concerned that unlike when I drink, and I've not been drinking as much since Frida passed. I noticed also that you really get worse breath with beer. I noticed that, so I had my Listerine strips with me. I pound this beer, and then I start on a Diet Coke, and I say to Bart, okay, it's 10 till 8, I'm going to go get back in line, because I'm going to take care of this right now. I go get in line, there's only about 8 guys in line, when it's my turn, I unzip, and nothing.
Again?
Oh, nothing. Now, at this point... they're ringing the bell. I actually got a bell out of this place at Wolf Trap, this concert venue that lets
hear ye.
That lets you know that the show's going to start in 5 minutes, and they start with the lights down. Down the lights.
Right
now, I'm standing there, and there are guys behind me, and this is where I hear. You know, what are you doing? What are you playing? What are you doing?
Oh, see, and then it makes it worse.
And I turn right.
Well, you've had a beer. You were overloaded to start with,
but
and then you had a beer, so you're loading yourself up even more.
Here's what's funny. You know the guy that was heckling me?
Who?
It was Mike Love.
Oh. Really?
No, that's pretty amazing. It wasn't John Stamos.
No, it wasn't Blackie Parrish. So again, my son, who's just great in this situation, waiting outside like I've got a medical condition. Right? I come out and he goes, "How'd everything go?" And I'm like. Thumbs down, dude. Nothing happened. Let's go watch the show.
So I got to go right now. You're making me want to go right now. So and you know what? I'm going to do that.
We go watch. Will you help yourself, Mike?
Thank you. May I go to the bathroom, please?
Thank you. Thank you for the towel, Rob.
It's the genital cuff.
Why do they put a cork on the fork?
So Brian Wilson kicks ass with the first set. And he's going to do intermission. He plays an hour. And after he got done with the last song of the first half, I said to Bart, okay, now we're going to go right to the bathroom. We're going to sprint over there. I'm going to be the first guy in line. And you just tell them to take a number for better service because Secretariat is really going to be...
I'm in.
Yeah.
You gallop on over to the men's room.
We run down to the bathroom. No less than 30 seconds after he's done singing, the house lights come up. I'm the first guy there. I stand there. I unzip my pants. And... it's the Great Wall of China. Now, Buzz, here is where your theory is proven correct.
Okay.
It was, like everything, right up here in the inner government, it was all in the head.
See that?
Okay. How did you...
That's
your skull. How did you possibly figure it out?
Because after the show, and I'm back in the private area, and the guy said, Peter, one of these guys, says to me, and I got to tell you something really great. They gave me a code word.
It's funny, the guy directing you to that is named Peter.
They gave me a code word to use backstage so that the guys backstage would know that I was one of the people that was really supposed to meet Brian Wilson. I won't tell you what the word is, but it's It's a funny word.
Oh, okay.
So when I would have to go to the bathroom or something, if I wanted to use a good bathroom, I would have to walk up to the guy. Let's say, for instance, say the word was rhinoceros.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I would have to walk up to the guy with the security thing and say, "Hi there, rhinoceros. Would there be a bathroom I could use?" And immediately, rather than saying, "Yeah, go down there with every other schmuck,"
right,
would say, "Come on back here."
So, right.
Now, this is right before I'm going to meet Brian Wilson. Uh-huh. And I'm in a private bathroom. And I'm standing there. And nothing is happening.
Okay.
Now, it's been almost 3 hours.
Third or fourth try.
And I hear a knock on the door. I'm like, "What?" And it's Bart. He said, "Dad, what are you doing in there?" I said, "I'm still trying. They said we can go meet Brian now." I said, "Oh.
Now, Christ. See, there's more pressure."
All right. So I zip up. I zip up. We go in.
I'm starting to hurt.
We meet him.
I got to go bad.
We meet him. We have the great time with him.
Uh-huh.
It's like the experience of my life.
Right.
Then as we are leaving,
mm-hmm,
as we are walking out, I said to Bart, "I got to go." And he said, "Come on." I said,
"Heard that before." Boy, he's been patient. Your son's very patient to put up with this all night.
I said, "This time, I swear to God," and this was late. This is like 11:30.
Right.
And nobody's even in the place, so there's no line in any bathroom. I said to him, "I got the feeling that I'm going to explode."
Yeah.
So I realized then when I walked into the bathroom, it wasn't the stadium stop. It wasn't other people. It was, I was uptight about meeting
Nerve.
Brian Wilson.
Yeah,
and
your body was tense.
I stood there, and I, let me just say that you could have played Surfer Girl, I Get Around, you could have played Heroes and Villains, you could have played like 8 Beach Boys records. And during the entire time, I was just, you know.
You know, it's even worse if you have that kind of trough where the is it trough or trough?
Trough.
With an F sound.
T-R-O-F-T.
With trough?
Trough.
T-R-O-U-G-H.
No. Right.
That's what you spell. And those I hate worse than anything, because you're basically sitting there and, you know, participating in one big river.
The Nissan Pavilion has that facility,
Don't you pronounce it, I've heard it pronounced trough.
I thought it was trough. Too,
no,
with a TH sound.
Some people do, but that's incorrect.
I think that is mistaken.
Yes,
but it is common.
Really,
trough.
It's just like a big sink.
It's
trough.
Yeah. It's lucky you didn't release when you met Brian.
Yeah.
He said, "There you are. It's nice to." Oh.
That would be. Okay. I don't want to talk to you anymore.
But anyway, that was it was weird because it was obviously psychological. That as soon as the pressure of meeting him was off,
right?
Yeah. I stood there and it was like, "Oh God, hello."
And then when you were finally done, did you go out and see Bart and then run to the car just to feel better? Just because it felt better because you were so much lighter.
And wasn't that like the greatest 5 minutes of your life? Really? I mean, at least at the time, it seemed like.
Can I just say this to you? Yeah. Being as I've been in this condition, and you know. Right. It's the closest I've come to sex.
Ah, that's good.
It's the closest.
It's a wonderful feeling.
And were you tired when you get on? Did you no more tries for that? No more attempts at that situation?
Oh, last night? No.
No.
No, because I got home last night and had a fantastic heart-to-heart with my kid.
You know, we were speculating that, because of the events of yesterday at the end, because of that release, which I thought was extremely healthy and necessary towards the end of the show yesterday, I was thinking that might have jogged you into functioning in that other way,
No, not a chance.
And then meeting Brian Wilson, that didn't
no meeting Brian Wilson didn't turn on my sex switch again.
Okay, I'm just anything. I'm looking for anything but that.
No, there's and I didn't try last night because I got home last night. I had my nice family thing with with my son, and we had a great chat about life and everything. And
but you were talking about it yesterday, and I just wanted to tell you maybe it was all the talk about that, but I did. Yesterday. Yeah, I'm not trying to brag or anything, but it's just
a show off.
I just, I did. And it was.
How many times do you have to say you did it, okay?
It was quality, because of the quality of the performance was way up there.
You found a good movie? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
A good porno?
But really, when you get 5 channels, you're lucky to get one that's even reasonable. And there was only one, but it was very, very good.
All you need is one good one.
She was very talented.
And like I said, besides last night, I was feeling all emotional and I was on that, I had that adrenaline high after meeting Brian Wilson. Like I said, got home, had a good chat with my son, and then that's the last thing that I was, going
to
think about.
You were emotional last night?
Yeah.
Why?
We'll be right back.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
Welcome to the Mental Health Hotline. If you are obsessive compulsive, press 1 repeatedly. If you are codependent, ask someone to press 2 for you. If you have multiple personalities, press 3, 4, 5, and 6. If you are paranoid, we know what you are and what you want. Stay on the line and we'll trace your call. If you're delusional, press 7 and your call will be transferred to the mothership. If you are schizophrenic, listen carefully and a small voice will tell you which number to press. If you are depressive, it doesn't matter which number you press, no one will answer you. If you are dyslexic, press 69696969. If you have a nervous disorder, please fidget with the hash key until the beep. After the beep, please wait for the beep. If you have a short-term memory loss, please try your call again later. And if you have low self-esteem, hang up. All our operators are too busy to talk to you.
The Don and Mike Show. Vintage goodness. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Right, right, right. Best of Don and Mike on a Friday. Don and Mike returning Tuesday, July 11th, from the new studios in Rockville, Maryland. I'm your host, the legendary Joe Arndinger, with you, and let's get right back into it. Hey, before this guy had a show on Free FM, he was a frequent guest to the Don and Mike Show, and it's Penn Jillette talking about that movie, The Aristocrats, on the best of Don and Mike.
Now, see the magic of something. He's somewhere else, but he's going to sound like he's in the studio.
Here in Vegas.
I'm right next to you in the studio. Can't you see me?
Oh, there he is. The great
Penn Jillette.
The great
Penn Jillette. I'm right here. I
know. We are doing great. Penn Jillette is a guy who, whenever we've had a question about something as wild as Siegfried and Roy,
right,
to a question about how something works, Penn has always taken our call.
I'm always here for you. I'm just here to help.
And
here to protect and serve.
Anyway, pretty great guy he is, Penn Jillette. Mm-hmm. And on a personal note, I want to tell you, Beth Ann told me that you had called after my wife had passed away, and that meant a lot, so thank you very much.
I'm very sorry to hear that.
I know you are, and I'm not trying to do the whole sympathy thing. I just want to tell you, I appreciate it. That was great. You're a good guy. And and if I could ask you before the movie, what's up with your kid's name?
You haven't seen the movie yet?
No.
My child's name is Moxie Gillette. Moxie, named after the
of course,
the most famous soft drink of Maine. The soft drink that invented all soft drinks were going to be, you know, what Coca-Cola ripped off, so to speak.
Right.
And then her middle name is Crime Fighter.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you.
Moxie
the middle name
Crime
is Crime Fighter.
Fighter.
There's a few reasons for that. One is no one gives a good damn about anyone's middle name. What's my middle name? Exactly my
point. Okay, right.
No idea. But this way, when she's pulled over, when she's 18, she'll be able to say to the cop, she'll hold out the driver's license and say, "Officer, we're on the same side. My middle name is Crime Fighter."
That's great.
All right, thank you for clearing that up.
That's now thinking we can, ahead, too.
Now we can talk about The Aristocrats, which I have seen. Which I have seen. The concept is, it's one joke. It's a horrible joke. And it shows how really dark comedians are.
Yes, it's an evil joke primarily in comedian circles.
It's not that terrible of a joke. You know, what you're doing essentially is saying, I saw Miles Davis play, I've got his record, and the tune is just da-da-da-da. It's what you do with it that matters.
Yes.
And yes, we don't care much about the joke because we put the punchline in the title.
That's true. So the joke itself, it's not necessarily designed to be funny. It's designed to see just where you can go with the content, with the straight line on the joke.
Right. It's a joke that's not made for amateurs to tell. You don't really want to get stuck. If you see the movie and a friend of yours says, "Hey, what's the joke? Tell me your version," you might want to duck out of it. It's a joke best left to professionals.
You got 100 comedians to do this.
About 104, but you can round it off.
Okay. In my humble estimate, I love George Carlin. I thought he kind of explains it, and he's great. The most troubling one, I thought, was Mr. Gilbert Gottfried.
Oh, isn't he fabulous?
And we're on the same page. Troubling, yes. Fantastic, yes. Who did
you know, if there's one way of looking at this, that the whole movie is 84 minutes to teach people how good Gilbert Gottfried is. And also to teach people what a scumball Bob Saget is.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, we all know him from this TV washed-up image.
Right.
And Provenz has known him since college. He's the director.
Right.
I've known him for 15, 20 years. And there has never been a dirtier comic that has lived.
And
not
he loves
Red
it.
Fox, not Lenny Bruce, not Buddy Hackett. None of them touched Saget. But then he does these goody-goody roles on TV. So finally, the truth is out. This is the real Bob.
Yes. I was going to say that, Ben. It's the real Bob. It's the Bob Saget he enjoys being. It really is.
It's the Bob Saget he lives.
He lives.
Know, he's the kind of guy who tells the aristocrats to a waitress at the restaurant. You know, he'll say, I'll have a cheeseburger, and here's what I did to my daughter last night.
Wow. Can you walk us through how it is that you get a movie like this made? The premise is it's a joke.
You can't get a movie like this made. That's the whole point.
Yeah, but you did.
It's all technology. You know, this is a real tribute to technology, whereas, you know, Star Wars is nothing. This allows two nuts with the money in their pocket to buy mid-range home equipment and go out with an idea. If you tried to pitch this to a cynical studio and said, oh, we're going to take the dirtiest joke ever told and have over 100 comedians tell it, and we're just going to stand there in their rooms and have them tell it, they'd go, can we have more Robin Williams, less Cooper Godfrey?
Right.
You know, there'd be all this stuff. You'd have to get, you know, Adam Sandler would have to be in it, you know. But the fact is, with technology, you know, I'm not a poor guy, but I'm not a studio, you know.
Right.
I do a show here in Vegas. Prevenz does stand-up. We were able to buy the equipment, buy a G5, get, Final Cut Pro, and get the whole movie completely finished. The only taste that is in this movie, and there isn't much of it, is from me and Prevenza. There's no studio breathing down our neck. There's nothing. And that is what's so powerful. And you couldn't do that 10 years ago. Nobody had the money.
The one question I wanted to ask you about the movie, Pam, was when you were doing the editing process and you did it yourself, was there anything that even you guys said, we got to hold back a little bit. We just can't put that. But I would imagine that had to happen at some point.
No, it actually didn't.
Okay.
And the reason is that what you're talking about here is people who are full of love and joy trying to make you laugh.
Right.
And for someone like me, and I bet you're like this too, if something is done with a pure heart, it's impossible for it to offend. Now, there are people who have been bothered by words, not concepts, not ideas, not thoughts behind it, not intent.
Yeah, you've done that. Your cable
words.
Show.
If
you've your
ever
cable
been bothered by a word,
right.
Do not, under any circumstances, see this movie. Go see the stupid Penguin movie. You love that.
Your show BS, I just wanted to interrupt you. Your show BS, when you did the First Amendment, and you take that lady that doesn't like the naughty words, and I think that is, of all, and I watch your show all the time, that's probably the best one you did. The one I couldn't watch was the one on circumcision. That one I had. Oh, my God. That was painful to watch.
Oh, it was amazing. You know, we kind of got actually a friend of mine, a woman that was going to be having a son, mm-hmm. and did a lot of research on circumcision, said, you know, you should do a BS show on that. And I said, well, isn't there, there's some health stuff to it. It's not just pure
right.
BS.
Sure.
It? And then we sent our Cracker Jack research team out, and they came back, and I went, Oh my goodness. This is a whole different thing than we thought. And I think it's one of the better shows, and also it's one of the shows that is very gratifying because we got, you know, just emails poured in
right.
saying, you know, we were just having a baby son. And, of course, nobody watches a half-hour show by Penn and Teller and makes an actual decision on something important. But it might get you to do some research on your own. You
right,
know?
Exactly.
You certainly don't want to trust us on anything. We lie. But it might get you started thinking in that direction. That's all BS is supposed to do.
About BS and then back to the aristocrats.
Sure.
And also in the aristocrats, I love the fact that in the trailer, at least the ad that I saw last night, it's Penn screaming, there are no penguins in this movie. That's great.
It's hard. You can really not go to a Cineplex and see a good movie without a penguin except for the aristocrats. It's the only place. What are you going to go? Go see Stealth? Go see War of the Worlds? See a psycho Scientologist burlesque 9/11 with dead bodies falling from the sky? Done by the most cynical of filmmakers? No. You've got a penguin or you've got Gilbert Gottfried swearing. Those are your choices, people. If you're going to see more than two movies, you are S. Is that what you? I got
Yes.
Okay, but you are out of luck.
Mm-hmm. The way you're talking, this is what I love about. And if you could answer one question about BS, then we can talk all about the aristocrats.
Whatever you want, I'm here to serve.
Okay,
My wife, you know about her. So she would watch BS and love it. And you got real close to home with the Life Coach episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She was a believer in that crap.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So she's watching it, and I'm laughing, and she's getting mad, and she brought up a question. And I always wondered this. Your commentary, when you're interviewing someone, where you call them like an F-head or say, you know, you're a god, you know, this person's an idiot. They obviously don't know at the time what you are going to say.
Oh, no. You could not be more wrong. Oh, I'm a nut about this.
Oh, then explain that to me.
Oh, yes, I need to, because it's something I feel very strongly about. Our show is supposed to be fair and extremely biased. And anyone that we're going to have on the show, we tell them the name of the show, we tell them the side of the issue that we are on,
and
they just sent DVDs of previous shows.
Well, then how do you
tell them we are not Michael Moore, we will take nothing out of context, we will not distort anything you say, but Penn will rip you apart. He will rip you apart, and you'll get a chance to have your say. And I think your wife would have had to agree that those people who are speaking get a chance to, it's not like, you know, Michael Moore getting footage of someone checking the monitors or looking on their comb.
Right.
They know the cameras are running all the time, and we do not take stuff out of context. Now, of course, that's a judgment call, because they may think something is very important that we've pulled out. But we haven't gotten any complaints from people on the show saying they were misrepresented.
Well,
we get a lot of complaints saying, Penn called me really awful names, but they never say, we had a creationist say, because we're mad because Penn pointed out the flaws in our argument.
Right.
If that's your complaint, I say, guilty. You know? And I think you can say it cynically and say, well, these people will do anything to get on TV.
Yes.
And probably they're getting more exposure from being on than not being on, but I choose to see it a little more purely of heart and just say, you know, I believe the stuff I believe very strongly. I'm a hardcore atheist, and if you were doing a Christian show and asked me to go on and you promised me that you would give your side and you would rip me apart but my words would not be altered, I might very well do it just because I would feel that some people would hear that and know what I was saying. And in my, you know, Thomas Jefferson marketplace of ideas, I believe that all news should be very fair and very biased. Have the newscaster come out and go, you know, I hate Bush and think we shouldn't be in Iraq. Now the news. And then you know what you're dealing
sure,
with.
Sure, thank you.
You know, your wife knew exactly the kind of guy I was, so she sees those people speaking and then knows what my point of view is going to be. Maybe you can get a little more information that way.
Okay, will there be it's the fourth season of it. Is there going to be a fourth season of BS?
We have not actually signed the papers, but they've said that they want to sign on for season 4 and 5.
Good.
And the first show we're thinking of doing is the Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
Sick of those homophobic, crazy, tax-spending guys. It is about time we attack the Boy Scouts.
The Boy Scouts. Amen.
Yep. All right, Ben, thank you for indulging us about BS. Now, about the Aristocrats.
Yes.
When it says it's in selected theaters.
we didn't say who it's selected by.
Yeah.
We didn't select the theaters. The theaters kind of well selected us.
We're lucky enough that we live in D.C., as you know, and we can go to an art film house to see your film. What kind of release are you getting? Are you in any of the monster megaplexes at all?
The amazing thing is, you know, we made this movie for just you guys and some comic lovers and the people in the movie. Then it turned out that a lot of my musician friends liked it, and we said, oh, it's for comedians and musicians. And then some other people liked it and were like, oh, it's for comedians and musicians and casino car dealers. And then we started showing it, and we showed it at Sundance, and people flipped out. So we had no intention of this going wide, but by Labor Day it'll be in almost 700 theaters.
Wow.
It's being picked up. I saw it at a multiplex being snuck, as they say,
yeah,
at a Salt Lake City multiplex in a mall.
There's the right
no
sound.
Warning. Wow. And it was just screaming laughter. So maybe it's going to go broader. Now, I think you know that the AMC theater chain, in order to grab publicity,
right.
said, you know, we're not going to show it, which is really funny. You know, shall we attack something from Amblin, or should we attack something that's done by a magician in Las Vegas at a Canadian film company? Oh, let's go after them. They're the problem. So this guy, who was clearly sexually impotent, had to get his name in the paper by saying he, after he shows all the John Waters films, after he showed Irreversible, after he showed 9/11 bodies falling out of the sky in right. War of the Worlds, he goes, oh yeah, we don't want Saget swearing. That's where we draw the line. So AMC has said no, but the funny thing is AMC already bought Lowe's, and all the Lowe's theaters are carrying it. Maybe it's their last burst of freedom before working on Maggie's Farm.
If this is not a too personal question, what was the final cost for you guys out of pocket? I mean,
We never kept track, but George Carlin made us promise. He said, when I called him up, I said, George, we got this idea. You know how you hear musicians do solos over the same songs, but you never hear comedians tell the same joke? He said, great idea. What's the joke? I said, Aristocrats. And he went, oh, this is too good an idea for you to get. You're not smart enough. Okay, we're in trouble now, so I'll have to help you. He said, you must make sure you don't take a penny from anyone until it's done. You must make sure of that and promise me that. And the fact is, I think we probably spent tens of thousands of dollars. I mean, you can just do the math.
Right.
We actually stole one camera from a friend, and then we bought two more, and then we bought a Big Apple computer, which is a few thousand, and the software is another thousand, and then we flew to New York, and we flew to London and did a few shoots that way. So probably, you know, $50,000, and then you get to the point where you have to transfer it and do the sound.
Right.
And because we did such a terrible job shooting it, in order to clean up our mess, it cost hundreds of dollars to bring in, like, people who went, oh, you're bringing us home movies with bad sound? It's supposed to be 35 millimeter. We go, yeah. They go, okay, it's going to cost you all the money in the world.
There you go.
Some of the people, when I watched the movie, their presentation tickled my funny bone, if you will.
Sure.
Kevin Pollak, who's always
he's been great on this show.
A favorite.
Oh, he's so funny. And the thing is, you know, we're showing you 84 minutes. We have 140 hours.
Wow.
And the Kevin Pollak stuff that's on the cutting room floor, remember, we were with him for 45 minutes. He did another 15 minutes that were funnier than we put in the movie, but we're making a point there about improvisation. So we used his Christopher Walken hunk, his Albert Brooks hunk, and his Kevin Pollak hunk are much, you know, just kill, drop dead funny. You know, Saget, who goes on and on and on in the movie just being disgusting, we actually have another half hour of that. You know, we have Gilbert Gottfried in that conference room telling the whole joke, separate from the Friars Club. We have Meryl Marco, who's only in the movie for 15 seconds, doing a four-minute brilliant piece on modern art. We have Sarah Silverman, who I think is one of the real stars of the movie.
Yes, you know, she has a special part in the movie.
Oh, yes, very special part. And one of the big punchlines, we have that whole thing, I mean, shot like this this memory of a World War II survivor. You know, she goes on, she cries about her Nana. She goes on and on. So we're just giving you these rocketed parts right through. And the mime who tells the joke, we have him telling three more jokes out in front of people on Santa Monica Boulevard. You know, we went nuts with this thing.
Okay, here's the one that I have to ask you about.
Sure.
That I remember, who's the dude from F Troop?
Larry Storch.
Okay. Oh, Larry Storch, okay. Right.
All right, now, I'm watching this movie with this avant-garde list of funny people.
Uh-huh.
How do you come up with the guy from F Troop? How do you pull him?
That's the nutty, beautiful thing about this movie is that it's completely random. What you're looking at on the screen is my cell phone's memory. These are people that I've met and hung out with that made me laugh and I love. There's nobody in. I mean, can imagine the only movie made with no one in it that I don't like. You know, Phyllis Diller is a hero to me. I just adore her. I adore the Smothers Brothers. You know, the Onion guys, the South Park guys.
Yes, right.
They're all buddies. always. So Larry Storch is someone that always made me laugh. When I met him, I was beside myself. He has a big heart. He was really funny. He was backstage at Annie Oakley. Annie, Get Your Gun.
Right.
He was playing, you know, the Indian part. So he's backstage. He's in a fucking suit. He's an outfit. And we called up and said, we're doing this idea. And he said, oh, it's a great idea. Come on backstage while I'm getting ready, and I'll tell you my version.
There you go.
So it all has that feeling. I mean, Stephen Wright is outside his hotel room.
Yeah.
It's just whatever, you know, and in comedy, as you know, it's very important to know what room you're in, know the audience,
oh, absolutely.
You know, who you're playing for. And the thing that people need to realize is that every person's room, the person they're playing for is me. You know, it's me and Paul Provenza standing there with cameras, and Sarah Silverman is trying to get us to laugh. And one of the really hard parts of putting the movie together and the sound was taking out my wild cackle, everything they say. Because, you know, Sarah Silverman's talking and you hear, and that's all you hear. So, you know, they had to pull out a whole filter for Penn's laugh.
And, Rob, I know you would want to ask him about your good friend, Rippy Taylor.
Yeah, what was it like working with Rip?
Well, Rip was just fabulous, because Rip, you know, we couldn't just shoot Rip like everyone else. He had to have dinner with us.
Yeah.
He had to do, like, you know, we're sitting at this diner in L.A., and then he has to get all his confetti, and he has to, he's like, all of a sudden he's directing, and he goes, get another shot of me throwing confetti. We go, okay, sure, you know. And,
a little rippy
sure
dippy.
You got this?
Mm-hmm.
He was just delightful.
Yeah, I'm telling you, the movie
and
is...
And Cabot, you had Cabot.
Yeah, Dick Cavett, yeah, right.
On just a little while ago.
Yeah.
And
oh, he's doing Cavett.
Oh, that was killing us. Oh.
we get jokes.
Oh, yeah.
We called Cavett, and I said, you know, we're doing this movie. And they wouldn't let me talk to Cavett. I got his assistant. And I said, we're doing the da-da-da-da-da. And they said, Dick Cavett isn't interested. So we're at Sundance, and Cavett sees the movie and comes on and goes, why the hell am I not in this movie?
Ah,
and I said,
oh.
we called you. And he said, no, you didn't. I said, we talked to your assistant. He said, which assistant? I said, oh, I don't. He goes, there's two of them. Tell me who it is, and they're fired. And I go, tick, tick, tick. We'll be doing a DVD. We're still doing it because, you know, Norman Lear, Conan O'Brien, all these people are now going, hey, where am I? And we go, okay, in the DVD, you'll be in there. But Cavett was mad at us.
Yeah.
And wow. I said, it's not our fault. We asked you.
Yeah.
We didn't beg anybody. We just asked.
Are the people, you mentioned Conan yeah. O'Brien. What about I know Chris Rock is in this, and he's great. What about the mainstream? Like, you don't have, obviously, Adam Sandler, as you mentioned. You don't have David Spade. But what about, like, a Letterman or a Leno? I know Jon Stewart is in it. He's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Did you try to approach any of the guys doing...
Well, the funny thing is that Adam Sandler is on our list of about 40 people who said yes, wanted to do it, understood it, and then we never were in the same city when he had time off.
Okay.
And it was the same thing with David Spade. He was there, and Andy Dick was not in it for the longest time. He wanted to be in it, and then we went to do an edit.
He's in the movie.
He went out of his way and finally ended up doing it. So,
oh, okay, good.
We had this huge list. Now, Leno, Leno was very, very politic, and Leno doesn't do anything without the network okaying it three or four times over. And Letterman, you know, just doesn't do anything but the show. You mm-hmm. never see Letterman, you know, an occasional Larry King or something. It's just not the kind of stuff they do, I think, because they just work so hard, but they were supportive of the whole thing. I mean, probably the two people that break my heart the most is I called Buddy Hackett, and I pitched the thing to him, and he loved the idea, told me three different versions of the joke, told me two other jokes, told me when he first heard it, and then said, Penn, I'm old, I'm sick, I'm dying, I can't do it. And I said, well, go anywhere you are. He goes, why don't you come to hell? I'm dead.
Oh,
I'm done.
Wow,
man.
And I called Rodney Dangerfield and had the same conversation. He said, you know, it's a great idea. I'd love to do it 10 years ago, but I'm just, no, not now.
That's sad.
And Johnny Carson, This was his favorite joke. He told it all the time. We had like 20 people tell us they heard it first from Johnny. And Johnny was a huge fan of BS.
I would love... Pat, I'm sorry.
You'd love to hear Johnny tell it.
I would love... Yeah, I would sure. die to hear Johnny Carson in this movie telling that joke.
Oh, it was amazing. And I was writing back and forth to him on email because he's a big skeptic and stuff. And we were writing back and forth. And I told him about it. And just out of respect, I made it clear that if he said one word, we'd rush to him wherever he was. But I did not, you know, he's retired. Not like Frank Sinatra retired.
Right.
He really did retire like
right.
a man. And not that Sinatra wasn't a man. I'm going to get whacked here. I'm in Vegas, for Christ's sake. What did I just say? The great Sinatra. The masculine and macho and powerful Sinatra. Jesus. How old am I? How did I get to be 50 saying stuff like that? So anyway, we had this,
you were saying Sinatra is a big faggot.
I believe that's what you were saying, and I was saying, no, Sinatra is a wonderful Italian-American. I believe I was saying something like that. I'm in Vegas. You guys are in D.C. JFK is dead. He has no more reach there. Carson, you know, said he really wanted to see it. So this is the really sad thing. We had setting up time to show Johnny Carson the movie at his house right after Sundance. We did the first screening at Sundance. People went wild. They loved it. The next day, Provenza and I are having a cup of coffee at Starbucks and celebrating. And the phone rings. It's amazing. It's amazing, Randy, who's crying and tells me that Carson just died. So, man, the high and low of comedy for me and Provenza was right there in that Starbucks. We were sitting really high. People, get the movie. It's great. Carson's dead. And it was just this horrible thing. And that's why at the end of the movie it says for Johnny Carson, because for months he's writing these emails going, can't wait to see it. You guys are doing great. Oh, I love that joke.
Wow. Oh, that's great. And it doesn't surprise me that he would love that joke.
I'd love to hear him. I'd love to hear his telling.
Yeah, and Gary Owens was telling us at the premiere in L.A. that he heard the joke from Jack Benny and then later from George Burns.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, and he said Jack Benny's version of it was really filthy, but very embarrassed about it. he was like going, and then they, well, which I just love picturing that. So it really is, you know, you saw it. It really is just a love letter to the culture of comedy and to comedians.
It is the funniest movie that I've seen, and I don't know how long. It's everything. It's like that old game in school where you tell someone a secret and you see what it gets to by the time it gets to the eighth person. But it's that.
Exactly.
But what I'm doing is boiling it down so a moron can understand it, and I'm a moron. The movie is freaking great. For information, please go to thearistocrats.com.
I get such a lawsuit if you say cats.
The Aristocrats.
Disney will come down on Penn Jillette like you would not believe.
I have a great story about this. They were doing a preview for critics in San Diego, and the ushers knew nothing about it, and a woman came in, an older woman with her two grandkids.
Oh, no.
And said, are they showing the Aristocats here?
Oh.
And the usher said, yeah, I think so, and sat them down in the theater. Now, we don't want that to happen. That's really bad. Now, here's the part. Now, listen carefully to my words.
Yeah, it's not funny at all either, is it?
Yeah.
Listen carefully to my words.
We're listening.
The three of them walked out 25 minutes later. Okay, 25 minutes later puts you all the way through Carlin. Part of the way into Sagan. I mean, I was talking to one of the big Disney cheeses, and he said, wasn't the fact there were no cats and they weren't animated some sort of hint? Never mind the filthy language. There were no cats and there's no animation. It's not a Disney film. 25 minutes. 25 before she goes, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I mean, what are they doing in there?
Sure. The movie is, seriously, we're not blowing smoke. It's fantastic. And everybody listening, and wherever you're listening, go see this movie. It's, like he said, ain't stealth. Okay? If you like stealth, you're not going to like this.
Yeah, and you know, and as a fan of BS, I'm glad that you're thinking about going on and doing more of that because that's an hysterical show.
Oh,
really.
Thanks a lot, man. Thanks a lot.
Ben, it's always great to have you on.
Always a pleasure.
As the movie continues to do well, we'd love to talk to you. And by the time you get around to the DVD, the extras must be incredible. Please come back on and tell us about it.
I sure will, man.
All right, we do love you. It's always great to have you on the show, Pat.
Thanks, Penn Jillette.
Thanks so much.
All right, dudes. All right, but bye.
He is hysterical.
There's a great Penn Jillette.
Oh God, what a great! And I mean, Johnny, that is so sad that Johnny didn't get a chance to do it. Because I can imagine with his sense of humor, it would have been great.
Here's what happened, Sean. With my daughter. Hi, O.
Yeah. Him.
Hi. Yes. There's the punchline.
How about him? Like emailing Penn.
Sure.
That is
so... you've read a lot about Johnny Carson. Yeah. I've read a lot about Johnny. Can you see this? Of course, this is his favorite joke.
That's wild. That's wild, wild stuff.
Wild stuff. Anyway, that's the great Penn Jillette, and the movie is the Aristocrats.
Yeah.
And go see it. Really,
And for that, since we didn't really explain it in great detail, the title of the movie is the punchline of the joke.
Yes.
Yes. Cool.
That's right.
That's all you need to know right now. Because if we give you any more, we'd be off the air.
And
don't you want to tell it your own version when you leave the movie, though?
Yeah, of course. just take it from me. The Gilbert Gottfried part
is the best.
Define best.
The best the and guy, worst. The most shocking.
The most memorable part is Gilbert Gottfried. I think George Carlin, as I said, is brilliant. And everybody's very funny. Kevin Pollak, I thought, was funny. His Albert Brooks, as Penn mentioned.
So you're right saying on. To me that there are other comedians who may be funnier, but the Gilbert Gottfried would be the most disturbing.
That's the one that will give you, what is it that the doctor said? Oh, yes, the night terrors.
You set it up beautifully.
Gilbert Gottfried.
Anyway,
we'll be right back.
Number 15. Arbitron rated the Don and Mike Show.
That looks innocent enough, doesn't it? Lots of young people hitchhike. Seems like a good way to get from one place to another. But sometimes there are dangers involved that never meet the eye. So no matter where you meet a stranger, be careful if they are too friendly. One never knows when the homosexual is about. Let's take the case of Jimmy Barnes. Jimmy played baseball all afternoon, and he didn't feel like walking home, so he decided to thumb a ride. He'd done it 100 times before, and he didn't think anything was unusual when the driver struck up a friendly conversation. In fact, he seemed like a real nice guy. What Jimmy didn't know was that Ralph was sick, a sickness that was not visible like smallpox, but no less dangerous and contagious, a sickness of the mind. You see, Ralph was a homosexual, a person who demands an intimate relationship with members of their own sex. So no matter where you meet a stranger, be careful if they are too friendly, if they try to win your confidence too quickly, and if they become overly personal. One never knows when the homosexual is about. He may appear normal.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, The Best of Don and Mike.
Thanks, Sonny. That's right, The Best of Don and Mike. Don and Mike returning Tuesday, July 11th. I'm your host, Legendary Joe Arnger, with you. We got lots of great stuff, so let's get right back into it. This is always a good story. When Mike gets to announce the President's Cup, it's The Best of Don and Mike.
Mike, yes, Dad. The President's Cup this weekend.
Yep, I was
which is that big deal golf match with our guys, the Americans, against the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right? Yes. Yeah. And eight of the ten top ten golfers in America were there right in our backyard.
And you were the first tee announcer.
Second time I've did it. I did it in 2000, and I did it, and I hope I'm going to do it again the next time it comes, if it comes back. Uh-huh. I'm always very honored to do this because this is not the kind of gig that you would normally see me at. You know, you or I, you know, because, you know, we do this kind of radio. And
hey, don't lower me down there.
Yes.
Okay.
I've always had an inferiority complex for this gig. The first time they asked me, I didn't believe it until maybe an hour before I was going to do it.
Wow.
Because it's just, you know, I mean, I'm introducing, you know, the former president of the United States. It's a very prestigious golf tournament. They're you know, Jack Nicklaus, you know, one of the great people of golf is sitting there, and I got a chance to shake his hand.
Cool.
Gary Player, another legend is there. All these famous people, and it doesn't matter, though.
Did you get a wet spot?
All I was thinking about all weekend
talking to those guys, did you get a wet spot?
No, but I had a wet spot under my breasts.
Oh, that's right.
Because
I forgot about your nipples.
Because of the sweat
your
that I was
thinking. Nipples.
No, but here's the deal. Of all the people up there, and what you have on the first tee is you have... I'm not going to put this in any particular order, but you have the officials from the PGA Tour that kind of hover around and they run everything. Then you have the dignitaries, the foreign dignitaries, the American dignitaries, congressmen, ambassadors. Then you have the TV guys. They're there.
Right.
And then you have the players and the captains. So all these people are very, you know, they're all supposed to be there. They're all part of the thing. Then you got me. And I'm off to the side with a microphone, and I really... It is, of all the people that are on that first tee, I would describe myself really more than anybody else as the hired help, even though I'm doing this for free.
I was going to say, I was very disappointed. I know you're not on camera for this, your voice
is... Well, this time they put us in an area where that wasn't going
to
happen.
But, you know, was it too much to ask? I said to Mike, how about with a nice big Don and Mike Show t-shirt?
Yeah, I would have been cooler. I really would have been cooler. The Friday was the real hot day, and Friday was the first thing I asked the guy. I was thinking about sweat. Last Tuesday, because I knew the kind of weather we were having, it wasn't going to be as cool as last time at the President's Cup. And I see the forecast, you know, it's going to be 95. It's going to be 95 and 100% humidity. So I asked the guy who's my Steve, who's kind of the PGA Tour, my boss. I said, our sport coat's absolutely essential. And he said, well, don't use the term sport coat. No, he said, no, you can just wear a shirt and tie. Well, even with a shirt and tie, you know me, it's mid-January on a 10 below zero morning, and I wake up and I'm sweating.
I know.
So, I mean, 95 out there with it. And there's something about those cotton shirts, when you put them on with the long sleeves and the tie, that I start thinking about it, and
yeah.
I sweat.
All right.
What I became incredibly conscious of was when I get out there with these two galleries, you got the bleachers on one side, the bleachers on the other side, I just don't want my nipples to show through the shirt that I have, because it really, on Friday, there was nothing I could do. I stayed in the air-conditioned room until the time.
Why hide those beauties?
No, I really would have. Would
why hide those golf tees?
This is true. You know, the ideal look for me would have been I would have kept the tie and lost the shirt. That would have been that perfect. Would have been. Yes, Rob, Justin Leonard accused me of smuggling raspberries. I was so drenched on Friday, and then I hear the forecast for Saturday that it's going to be cloud cover with temperatures in the low to mid 70s.
Much cooler.
Thank God. Still don't have to wear the jacket, and I show up, and apparently the temperature was low, the sun was not out, but the humidity was still very, very high. So every time I do an announcement, I'm looking down, and I'm looking at my left boob, and I'm just saying, is it, yep, yeah. Oh, Jesus, there it is.
Would it look like you were lactating almost?
It would, yeah, because it was coming through right around that area.
Oh, my.
And it was, but it's underneath the nipple.
Yes.
You know, underneath, it's where women would have the, it's where women, if I was a woman, where I would smuggle a can of tuna fish.
Right.
That's where I would have
Brett Butler.
It was, yeah, it was just there, and I said, you know, God, I'm not moving. I'm trying not to, you know, no extraneous movement here. Uh-huh. I'm hydrating. Maybe I shouldn't have done that because the water's coming right through me, but I am sitting there going, why? Every man out here with a shirt and tie, and they all have their shirts and ties. Nobody's doing this.
You're
the players.
Nipples.
The players, you know, Retief Goosen comes off the driving range, and I look at him, and he's got this. He's been smacking balls in the driving range for 2 hours, and he comes up after, you know, after working himself up and getting him all set, warmed up. He's got this tiny little mark in the middle of his back.
Right.
Skinny guy who doesn't sweat. And I'm sitting there doing nothing other than gaining oxygen, and I'm, you know, I'm starting to develop this little crease right underneath, and I'm like, everybody, I was so paranoid on Saturday that I said, everybody's going to be looking at my, you know, at my boobs.
Uh-huh.
Because the day before, when I had gotten my shirt, I bought a brand new shirt, and I ironed it. I didn't launder it. I bought it right off the rack, and I wore it. I got my shirt home on Friday night, and I looked at the collar, and I went, oh, my God, what is that? And there are these brown stains.
Oh, the ring around the collar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said, Jesus, I wash.
That's
I
your bathe. Grit.
Is that my neck?
Yeah, that's your grit.
And then you know what I realized it was?
What?
No, it was the tag. It was a little maroon, brownish colored tag. and I had sweat so much that it had bled through the tag, and then I had smeared all the ink on the shirt.
I guess
so. But look, get the sweat out of it. It's still an honor. You know, it's very, very exciting. But everybody, you know how you always talk about you go to a room that maybe you don't belong, and if you act like you belong,
right?
I'm not as good at that as you are. I'm not as good at pretending it. I belong, okay? I got the credential that says it. I'm supposed to be here.
Right.
I've got the scripts in my hand for my announcing job. But I still feel like I don't belong. So I'm trying to shake hands with certain people, especially Jack Nicklaus. You know, any golfer, the opportunity to shake hands with Jack Nicklaus is a real big deal. And I know that I am projecting more than I have ever projected a feeling of, you know, who's this guy? Because it's the way I'm acting, and everybody's vibing on it. President Bush Senior, he's vibing on it. Barbara, she vibed on it.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
That's his son. And the thing is, I know that I'm just trying to grab a little FaceTime with these people, and they all kind of looked at me like, oh.
Hi.
Oh, what are you doing?
Jack Nicklaus, my name is Puddles.
Yeah.
Puddles America. And then Jack Nicklaus with that real high voice says, Hi! Hi, nice to meet you. Are you lactating?
What's the matter with that shirt? Somebody spray you down with a hose? But it was a big thrill like it was the last time. I mean, I love doing it.
So what about the NBC?
I screwed up twice.
You tell me the NBC guy screwed you up once, right?
Saturday, was it Saturday or Sunday? I don't know which day it was. It was either Saturday or Saturday. Donnie Simpson, another disc jockey here in town, works for another radio station. He did the morning ones and I did the afternoon ones. Yesterday, Donnie and I split it right down the middle.
Uh-huh.
And Donnie played golf with Michael Jordan. Donnie is just out there going, you know, hey, man, you know, just as smooth. You know, and people are the pros walk up to Donnie as they're walking up to the tee and shake his hand. He's like,
you know,
good
why?
Luck. You know how many times that happened to me?
Donnie Simpson can pull off that thing.
Yeah.
I bet, like, he looked like he belonged.
He
like,
did.
The cool he was standing
no, he looked
there.
Like, he looked like he owned the tournament.
Well, so he's standing there, and as these golfers come by, they look at him like, well, this is a guy I got to say hello to.
Right.
And
right.
Then they get to you, and they go.
I would step forward. I won't go so far to say that it was a lunge towards Davis Love III when he was walking up to the D. And I know you love that name.
Davis Love III.
And a couple of the other guys. And, man, I just couldn't. Donnie positioned himself no different from where I was, but they'd all, like, look over, and a couple of them shook his hand. I didn't get one handshake out of the deal, you know?
Of course.
And, I mean, and
he looks like Ahmad Rashad. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing he was wearing, like, a suit that had, like, what, 25 buttons on it.
He looked good. Yesterday, he was so well-dressed yesterday that it was just... And
I know,
you know, and Schlub McNipple Sweat comes up there with his sport coat on.
You know, you probably look like the manager at a Wendy's.
You know. I did. But I'm doing the best I can, you know? I'm trying to wear the outfit, and I got the little logo, you know, on the jacket, you know, which didn't do dink.
You know, didn't say that.
It didn't do anything. It was still the fact that my shirt was just going. Did you ever suck the jelly out of it? You know, that's the look I had. And so I see Donnie as I'm waiting for my half to come up. I'm seeing the way he's doing it, and I'm watching him. And I see he kind of shakes one player's hand. And I said, I've never shaken a player's hand. Maybe I'll be so forward. And I start thinking I got to lunge at people. So I lunge towards Davis, and he comes walking around. They all applaud him.
Lunge is a good
word.
He comes
walking out between the ropes, and he walks up, and I go. And I open my mouth, and I have kind of this pleading look at him where I'm like, hey, and I'm about to say, good luck. And there's not eye contact. There's not his body pointed towards me. He somehow, even though the angle, I thought I had the angle on him, he positions himself. You know, I thought he was walking sideways, just to keep his back
away from you.
And then I got a little bit, because I kind of think maybe I'm not going to get a chance to do this again. I start getting a little desperate. And it's towards the end of the tournament yesterday, and this is going to be my chance. Now, in between, I get a little TV time with my voice. I don't get it with my face. I don't think I was... I, because of the angles, I don't think I was on TV at all, and I didn't record it, so I don't know whether I was. But My voice was on a couple of times, and you always know because the guys from NBC who have the headsets and they follow
right.
the players,
right.
they all come up to you, every one of them. It got a little bit tedious because I did it in 2000. I know what it is, and they all come and they give you the idiot speech where,
right.
listen, here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna cue you. Okay, I'm going to cue you, and every single one of them.
You're retarded,
did.
And yeah. you've never held a microphone in your hand.
Yeah,
before.
I'm going to cue. I said, yeah, I remember we did, and I didn't want to come across as cocky.
Right,
I go, yeah,
right.
yeah, yeah, yeah. This is really what I should. Shut up.
Yeah.
I know. You tapped me on the shoulder. Big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
So the one guy, it wasn't Mark Rolfing, and it wasn't Jimmy Roberts. It was the other guy who does golf for NBC. I forgot what his name was. He's going to cue me on Saturday, and he does the biggest deal of it. He makes the big deal. Now listen. We're going to be going live on NBC. I will cue you when it's time to make the announcement, okay? I feel like going,
okay, stupid announcement, it was explained 30 times, duh.
So here's what he does, right? This is the first time this has ever happened, and this pissed me off, and it pissed the guy from the PGA Tour.
All right, what happened?
He gets ready. And I'm looking at a digital clock, too, for the tea time, right? Mm-hmm. So we're trying to coordinate everything, but I'm going to wait for NBC because apparently in professional sports, TV does control everything.
Of course, yes. You know that.
So he says, okay, here we go. Should be about 10 seconds. Okay? Are you okay?
He's got to read a card. You're okay.
Okay. Here we go. And five. And he takes like a big, deep breath, and he goes, okay, go. And I say, ladies and gentlemen, this is the 12:50 tea time. Please, representing the international team, please. No, stop. So the guy from NBC says, stop.
Now, are you on
so I'm in the middle.
Are you on the PA doing this,
yeah.
right? Okay.
Yeah, it went exactly, if I remember the script, representing the international team. No, wait. And the guy, so I look over and I'm stopping because the guy touches my arm and tells me, stop.
The guy from NBC, right?
Meanwhile, I'm looking at the PGA Tour guy. Who's got, steam coming out of his ears because he's like, and he says something like, this is not good. And I'm suddenly in the middle. I'm like, well, who do I listen to? And then he says, okay, go now. And I'm like, representing the international team, ladies and gentlemen, this is the, and you'll like the golf speak, which was my favorite, which I thought was the most fluffy of all my speech.
Yeah.
It would be, the United States team has the honor. Play away, please. But Donnie couldn't do it like that. You know why?
Because
Donnie's too cool.
Yeah.
Donnie said, please play away. Okay? Now, that's not the way it was
written.
Would you
say play away, please?
And if I'd got... Now, what Donnie was doing was the way it rolls off the tongue a little easier.
Please play away.
Please play away. Please play away. I had to say, play away, please. Little tiny things you think about in your script. I'm like, well, Donnie rearranged it. I'm not going to copy him. I'm going to do it the way it was written on the script. Okay? Uh-huh. Mr. Better Suit than I have. Yeah. Mr. Shake Hands with Everybody. Mr. Commiserate with the Tim Fincham, the tour commissioner. Donnie's chatting with him like, hey, man, how you doing, Tim? Meanwhile, Tim Fincham looks at me like, okay, would you pick that paper up, please? Okay, Mr. Smell. But it was a thrill, and I only made one screw up, and that's when I said, our honorary observers. Mm-hmm. Instead of saying the honorary observers,
yeah.
they're the people that are like the congressmen. And,
right.
and somehow yesterday was like my third group when our honorary observers sounded something like this. Ladies and gentlemen, our excuse me? Beg your pardon. Our honorary observers. I had a very good time, and of course yesterday was the end of the tournament, and then it was party time after that, and we got the band that played the Grassroots, and it was a good time was had by
all. Yeah, no, that's a big one for you. Yeah.
But I've got clothing all over that golf club.
No sweat.
Changes the clothes.
No sweat. Don't sweat it.
Blood, sweat, and tears.
And you mentioned how awful
Keith
you
sweat.
You mentioned how awful you thought you did in the introductions. Donnie Simpson's part was on. Was it on TNT before it was on NBC?
Yep, TNT a couple of days. 2 days on TNT and 2 days on
Here's
NBC.
Here's Donnie Simpson yesterday. He got his voice on TV.
Okay.
He wet. I hate you. I hate your big, fat, bald head.
NBC guy told him to say that. It was a wonderful opportunity, and I hope they let me do it again. I only messed up once. I didn't mess up at all the last time in 2000 when I did it.
Money.
Our honorary observer. And it turned into our
Don't worry. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about the time. Do worry about your nipples.
Yeah, don't
worry about that.
I don't care if I lose 40 more pounds. There's nothing that's going to ever correct that. If it's over 80 degrees, you're seeing it's a wet t-shirt contest for me. You know, unless like I double bag myself or something like that. You know, like I wear a t-shirt, but I've never been a big t-shirt wearer.
Well, if you start wearing
a man's ear, a training bra, because really that's the only area that's problem sweating for me. I even switch deodorants.
Don't they have like pads for chicks that have sweaty boobs?
Didn't
I hear that?
They make adhesive things for women who don't want their nipples to show through their clothing.
But isn't there something that's also like
that goes underneath,
like a gauze type material almost?
Not familiar.
A very thin gauze.
I'll call it the president's C cup. No, all this is taken care of if they just get a little innovative and create a mesh dress shirt. You give me a mesh dress shirt, really? I shave some of the chest hair. Dumb.
Yeah. But so what are you going to do with the incredible protruding nipples?
Well,
what are you going to do?
I'll pretend like they're little PGA Tour pins.
What are you going to do when they poke through the holes in the mesh?
Get a lot of pleasant attention.
That's right. Right.
That's what I'm going to do.
I don't know if you know this or not. Mike, I think we've mentioned this. Big half-dollar size nipples. full coin dollar size nipples.
Oh, absolutely. Well, not dollar. Yeah, a little bit like casino chips. That's what they look like. And congratulations to the USA. We took home the cup.
Yeah.
Yay. We took home the cup again, and it was a great golf tournament.
Well, congratulations. I know you like doing that.
I do, and now I'm ready to get. Now I want to go out and play because I watch those guys, and they're so good. Sure.
The nips look like little Mike and Ike's.
There they are right here. Little Swedish fish.
And Rob, I meant nipples. Okay?
I know what you meant.
Okay. Because I know that's one of your hot button words.
Let's use it in context.
I know that's one of your hot button words. You and Bugs Bunny.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Number 15 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
All I have to do is talk. And all you have to do is read or listen. And believe me, the way you believed me when I sang all those songs. Well, now I'm talking, and listen to me, for goodness sakes. Don't make a joke of me anymore. People say, and print, and believe the stupid ones, and the minority, that I'm either a drunk, a drug addict, but it's a goddamn wonder I'm not. But I'm not. Because there's Joe, Lorna, Liza, Mark, and me. And whoever wants to love us is welcome. Whoever is against us, get out.
The Don and Mike Show. Expertly aged like a fine cheddar. The best of Don and Mike.
Wow! Hi, Rob! I don't work on Man Watchers Compliment Week. That's an inside joke.
We'll explain it later!
Yes, yes. That means you have to stay tuned to Best of Don and Mike. Don and Mike returning Tuesday! Yeah! July 11th from the new studios in Rockville, Maryland. Let's get right back into it. Yes, Rob?
Where's the melody on this song?
Hey, these guys are white shoes.
Move on.
Oh, okay.
You gotta fight for your right.
All right. You do have a segment to play, right?
Yes.
Okay. It's the Friday favorite on the best of Don and Mike.
Somebody different this time. We've not heard. And who doesn't love Napoleon Dynamite?
Everybody.
We played the tape there a second ago. But anybody could do Napoleon Dynamite on their show. Let's welcome the real unsung hero of that movie, Pedro.
Napoleon can't be here.
Hey, I voted for you. We wanted you on the show.
Yeah. Vote for Pedro.
We wanted you on the show, Pedro.
All of your wildest dreams will come true.
Will you make me a cake?
I will build you a cake. Would you like me to build you a cake? Hi, Don.
Hi, Pedro.
Hey, Pedro.
Hello, Buzz.
Hello. Good to see you.
I am so thrilled to be on the Don and Mike show.
You know, you're very popular in that movie, Napoleon Dynamite.
Don, it's good to see you again.
Good to see you again, Pedro.
I have not seen you since the donkey show.
Oh, the live sex show down in Mexico.
Let us send my heartfelt wishes out to everyone on the Yucatan Peninsula.
Yes.
They were really whacked hard by the hurricane. It wasn't Katrina, it was Wilma.
You ever been to Cancun, Mexico?
Cancun?
Yeah.
Cozumel?
Yeah, I think all those areas were hit, right?
So I'm very, very excited to be here. This is a live radio show.
I'm noticing now that you bring the same energy to the radio microphone that you bring to the silver screen.
Energy? What type of energy are you talking about?
You are bursting with energy.
I can only do it this way.
I know.
I'm sorry, this is who I am.
We like that, though.
No, what I'm saying is you're dynamic.
Did you watch the World Series?
I watched part of it, yeah.
How's he again?
Oh, yeah.
Thumbs up.
He's one of your people, isn't he?
All the great players are from Latin America.
Oh, did you see they had the Latin players? Had the greatest Latino players of all time?
Roberto Clemente,
right?
Tony Perez.
Lefty Gomez.
Alex A-Rod Rodriguez.
Right. A-Rod.
Orlando Cepeda. Rod Carew. Manny Ramirez, David Ortiz. Luis Aparicio. Senor Carew is my favorite.
Yeah.
What a great hitter he was.
Yeah.
Are you having a good time?
I think it was a very good time.
Since it's Friday.
Yeah.
I will build Bethany cake.
Oh, now, isn't that nice? You're going to build her a cake.
I like her bangs. I truly do.
Sure.
This is fun. Like a piñata full of tater tots. I'm so happy to be here.
Now,
but yesterday, I was real hot flying in the airplane. I felt as though I had to take all my hair off and shave it.
Pedro?
And throw it into the closet again.
May I give you a compliment?
What?
You have a very nice, wispy mustache.
It only took me 2 days to grow it.
Oh, very good.
It's a gift I have. Just like my brothers. You know my brothers with their shaved head?
Yeah.
In the big fancy car?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I was hanging out with Napoleon over the weekend, and his Uncle Rico, and his grandma. And she said, Napoleon, fix yourself a quesadilla. I said, it's not a quesadilla. It's a quesadilla.
Yeah, right, you're right.
She said, you say it your way. I say it mine. I said, no problem at all. But I'm very excited to be here.
Sounds like it.
Represent all the great Latino and Latinas that have shaped the American media and society.
You're a hero.
Some might say that...
Roberto Duran, Oscar De La Hoya in boxing.
Some might say that your portrayal in Napoleon Dynamite was less inspiring, let's say, than the great Roberto Clemente, who was a Roma. Or how about Edward James Almost. The guy with the bad skin, Almost.
Can I tell you a story?
Yes, please, Pedro.
He was at the World Series the other night, and he read the list of all the Latin players.
Yes, he did.
I like him a lot. He's been on lots of TV shows. He's very famous in my country.
Yes.
But my country now is your country.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Sadly, that's true.
Yes.
You're taking over, aren't you?
I'm happy to be here. But I'm far out west, nowhere near where you are. That's why I'd like you to go to the Utah State Fair.
You know, the other cat, the Napoleon Dynamite cat, he's getting all kinds of work now.
I am still getting work with him, but only with him. Yeah. I think people are discriminating against me.
You know, and here's the thing. People are taking that Napoleon Dynamite kid, and they're putting him in other roles. You are not in any other roles, are you?
But I will get more roles, because now I have a new agent.
Oh, you have a new agent?
Okay. He told me, you should play up the fact that you're from Mexico more, especially on this show with these people.
Mm-hmm.
He said, these people will like it if you do that. So if you don't mind, I will now put on this festive sombrero.
Now,
does that fit more into your image of what I should be?
That's huge.
He also said to me, when you come into the Don and Mike show, the first thing you should say is, my name Jose Jimenez.
I
said, who is that? He said, too old, too long ago, it didn't matter to me.
Hey,
look, I have fake bullets that I will put across my chest.
You look like, what's his name, Pancho Villa.
You like that? Now I will stand up, and I will do a little dance. Do you have some music for me?
Do you want the Mexican hand dance?
I will build you a dance.
Oh,
watch this.
Here
we go. Now I go back. I will dance around the hat. That is the stereotype that I was told you would enjoy more than any other. May I sit down now?
Yes. You know, another stereotype perhaps you can help me with.
My head is very hot. I am so sorry.
What about cockfighting? Are you into cockfighting?
Oh, yes, most definitely. We do that every Saturday night at home. Not here.
Oh, and Pedro. God,
the best in the world is in Guadalajara.
How could I forget? How could I forget? Did you take a look at the yard work outside? What do you think of the job that the lawn technicians are doing here?
My
at the station?
Agent said you would ask me about that. Feeling all the great stereotypes on the show.
Yeah.
But let me continue what I was doing. It was my high school project.
Please.
I would like to pay great tribute to some of the great performers that have shaped Latin America.
Okay, good.
Paul Rodriguez, Tito Puente, Ricardo Montalban.
You know, this is just showing.
I am very excited. And the great one.
And the thing is, you really give a real list.
The man who is the great one.
Who's that?
Jorge Lopez.
The
great Jorge Lopez.
George Lopez.
Jorge Lopez is revered in all of Latin America. We are very, very proud of him.
Did you see the TV movie where he was...
And, of course, let's not forget Greg Garcia. He's an executive producer for the brand new show, My Name is Earl. Have you seen it?
Yeah, have I seen it? He used to be our gopher intern.
It's,
you know,
funny.
He could not look more Aryan, though. He does not look Hispanic at all. He has blonde hair and blue eyes.
I glued a razor blade to Little Buzz's claw so that he would be able to defeat his opponent all the better.
Oh, with your cockfighting.
Yes, if you asked about it, I would tell you. But, you know, someone said to me once, they said, Pedro, if you show more energy, maybe you will get more TV and movie roles.
Yeah.
I said, this is the only energy that I possess. I'm very pleased to be here, but unfortunately, I cannot muster any more agent.
Let me ask you something.
I am who I am.
If right now you are moving as fast as you possibly can, why don't you make yourself comfortable and slow down to a speed of conversation that you feel more comfortable with?
So you say I can talk with less energy and I can talk more naturally?
Because right now, in your mind, we must be going like a million miles an hour.
He scares me.
Okay.
You talk so fast. You and all the people on your show.
Okay.
It sounds like kaboom, kaboom, almost like machine gun fire.
Let's slow it down then.
Thank you. There is a chalupa in my Mexican pants. The chimichanga has gotten too hot. Take it and remove it from the pan.
Uh-huh.
I will pick you up and go to the fiesta on Friday. Okay, I get it out of my system. Is there a chance I could take a siesta now? My head is very hot. Did you like the movie Napoleon Dynamite?
Did I love it? You know what I
Some
like?
Of my friends have said, it is the only movie I will ever be in.
You know what
I... Do you think it is wrong?
I'd like to see it in another...
You know what I'm looking for from you?
What?
Some hubcaps for a 68 Camaro.
My agent said also, Don Ephraim. He said...
Don Ephraim is your agent?
Oh, yes. He is based in Chicago.
He sucks. He's our agent.
He is.
He's the worst.
Oh, we have that in common.
He could not negotiate his way out of a paper bag.
I tell you, Don Ephraim has said to me, Pedro, someday you'll be a big star. Look at the T-shirts. Everyone is wearing all over this United States.
Now, let me ask you about that.
For Pedro.
Are you getting any pesos from that?
See?
Okay.
Oh, good.
How many pesos do you get for each T-shirt that is sold that says
vote
for Pedro?
I was told last week that we sold 10,000.
Oh, I mean, I see them at Walmart and Target everywhere.
Of them, yes. I thought they sold 10,000, and I got a check 2 weeks ago from Don Ephraim.
Yes?
I got a check for $4.72.
Perfect. For 10,000 shirts.
You see, there's more where that came from, Pedro. Call me at my home in Palm Beach, Florida. He said, I am reclining on my backyard deck wearing sandals with black socks. If they are making a Sanford and Son movie, I could be playing Julio.
Yes.
Or I could be in the remake.
Are you jealous?
Of Chico and the Man.
Are you jealous of Freddie Prinze Jr.'s success?
Very much so. They said, Pedro, you will never get a role like that. I said, why is that? Because you don't talk with the same energy.
Mm.
You barely even open your mouth when you're talking. I said, what's the big deal?
Okay, let's try this.
Okay.
Sally sells sea shells by the seashore. Pedro.
I don't want to run for class president.
Sally sells seashells by the seashore.
So,
Sunday's by the seashore.
You know, that's not bad. Okay. Rubber baby bubby, rubber baby buggy bumpers.
Rubber baby. I start again.
That's a hard one for even me to say fast.
I find your games to be very, very degrading.
Oh, I got a joke for you.
You're very sad.
Hey.
I'm very, very upset.
Whatever I ask you, answer rubber balls and liquor.
Okay.
Hey, Pedro, what'd you have for breakfast?
Rubber balls and liquor.
What'd you have for lunch?
Rubber balls and liquor.
What'd you do to your girlfriend last night?
Rubber balls and liquor. Can I see the picture of Jeff Probst?
Oh, really?
I heard you talking about it. Yeah, I would really like to look at it.
Here it is right there. I just happen to have it. Hi! Now he comes to life.
Wow.
That is huge. Yeah. Wow, that is fantastic. Do you think I have a future in other movies? Someone said I could perhaps be in a movie, but it would have to be a special movie for me.
I think you could be in have you thought about porno? Speaking of Jeff Probst.
We'll see porno.
You know.
Oh, you mean the movies where people have sex?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Sex movies.
I would be glad to do that.
Would you be in a sex movie?
I do. I would love to.
Would you be in a sex movie with animals?
See? I would do that.
Would you allow people to watch you having sex with, say, a donkey?
I would like to do anything I could to further my career.
What about with a rooster? Would you have sex with a rooster?
That is against my religion.
Would you have
very bad.
Would you have
and
sex
it also would hurt the rooster.
Would you have sex with your rooster named Buzz?
No, I couldn't.
No.
I use that for my entertainment. That is it. I am so very excited to be on the Don and Mike show. Congratulations. I was told to be here to do promos for your station, too.
Oh, good.
I can do them right now if you wish.
Are we rolling tape? Here is Pedro.
Hi. This is Pedro from Napoleon Dynamite. Free FM. Bueno. It's the second
nicely
one.
Done.
Hi, this is Pedro from Napoleon Dynamite. He's free. You don't have to pay for it. How about that? Free FM, man. Hi, this is Pedro from Napoleon Dynamite. Other things on radio you have to pay for. Not here. He's free. Doesn't that make you feel good? And one more.
Okay.
Miguel Yu says, free is good. This is Pedro from Napoleon Dynamite. I hope you enjoy getting all of this fine quality entertainment without having to pay for it.
I wonder what you would be like if I gave you like 8 cans of Red Bull.
8 cans of Red Bull would not change. I have had that before. That is the stuff that they drink for the energy.
Filling you up with black 7-Eleven coffee, Red Bull, maybe some Jolt Cola, some Mountain Dew.
I drank 2 cases one time in a whole afternoon of Mountain Dew, Diet Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
You know what happened to me?
What happened?
One thing.
What?
My right eyebrow, it lifted up.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both connected. So it actually went higher than the other. My prostitution business is El Bueno.
Oh, good. Well, there's that.
20 pesos. I will do what you say so.
Oh, now that's bad.
Silly joke.
Do you have sex with anyone that asks?
It depends. I would like to try to get Summer Wheatley. Are you familiar with her in the movie?
Oh, yeah. Right. Yes, right.
She is the girl that voted. Yeah. They didn't vote against me, but she ran against me for class president. But I won after Napoleon did his dance, his silly, stupid dance with his space boots.
Right.
It was fun. Rico and I, Uncle Rico, yeah. I can pull a train. That is big fun.
Uncle Rico ever give you the bad touch?
All the time.
All the time?
Sure. Yes. I'm pretty sure he likes boys better than girls. He throws his football, and then he said, come into my little trailer. Mm-hmm. And inside,
yeah,
it was scary.
Yeah.
All inside were pictures. Pictures of men that looked just like that Jeff Probst. But they were real.
He ever take
they were from magazines like Playgirl.
Did he ever take your temperature?
He tried. I hit him with a pan that he had on his stove.
Oh,
I hit him as hard as I could, and I ran. I ran through the wheat field. Rico's walls are forever wet.
All right.
Very bad.
Wow. We are here with Pedro, the high-energy Pedro from Napoleon Dynamite.
It's quite a pleasure to be here.
We'll play the game this week, a low-budget Jeopardy. 877-365-3636. It's the game where people answer questions, and they win cash and fabulous prizes.
You think after we get done, you could maybe pay me?
Sure.
Something small?
Sure. How about this? Would you like a shiny new dime?
Sure. I would take whatever I can get.
Okay, shiny new dime.
Yes, and I'm cutting some of my hair off and giving it to your man in the back.
To Rob, why that?
He told me he would sell it on eBay.
Yeah, crazy.
he's a very popular man in my country.
Rob?
They call him El Roberto. El Roberto, the merchant of Spain. Bueno.
You want to play the game? I see we've got, we need two challengers this week. So,
I brought you a pint of queso.
Light them up if you got them. Smoke them if you got them.
Delicious. This is so much fun. Would you like some fajitas?
You know,
I could make them on my forehead because it's so hot.
You are so slow, you're almost moving backwards.
That's the way I always have been.
I know.
I wish I could pick up my energy, but it's impossible to. So sad. I'd like to say hi to all of my relatives in Manassas, Virginia. Thank you so much.
Look around, Cafe.
Are they all welcome to... Isn't tonight Hispanic night at O'Mara's?
Yes, thank you, Don.
Isn't every night Hispanic night at O'Mara's?
I find Chili's to be a bad cafe.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
93.5, the Beach, Delmarva's home of rock and roll, and a Monday night beach jam, as we promise and deliver. The silver lining. Well, it might have been one of those definitive Mondays for you. Bad Billy Porter, Mike's out. Let me correct myself. This is Man Watchers Compliment Week. Write that down. And write under it, 800-234-9350. That's the beach slide into the studio. Go ahead and use it. Take advantage of Man Watchers Compliment Week. Well, let's see. Over the weekend, I missed the opportunity to celebrate a couple rock and roll historical moments. We'll tie in one with the Yardbirds and Led Zeppelin later on tonight as your daily dose is coming up. Got Doobie Brother memories to rock back on and also some birthday stuff, which will tie in with the vintage Allman Brothers performance. That and plenty of beach-winning opportunities. Hang tight.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right. Hey, that's the Don and Mike. You know, I'm going to take a minute here. Today, my wife leaves, Tracy Baby, leaves an old job and moves on to a new job. So I just want to send this out to her and all her friends. And I just want to say that if you're not sitting at the picnic table right now, you're not cool. And that's an inside joke. But let's get back into the best of Don and Mike. I'm your host, Legendary Joe Arndinger, with you. And, we're in the middle of a Friday favorite. So let's continue on with Pedro and LBJ on the best of Don and Mike.
I think you should stick exactly to the way Pedro is in the movie.
Okay. This is the time on your show when you play your game.
And now it's time to play Low Budget Jeopardy. Here is the incredibly vibrant Pedro.
I will build you a frittata. Now entering the studio is our first challenger.
And then all your dreams will come true.
This person is from Dalton Gardens, Idaho. That's close to where I live.
Sure.
If they had to be student, Tristan.
This is Tristan from Idaho. Hi, Tristan.
Hey, Pedro, LQ, how you doing?
She does not sound like a girl.
Hey, hold on a second. Your name is Tristan?
Yeah.
Is that a girl's name or a boy's name?
Chick's name.
That would be a boy's name.
How do you spell it, sir?
T-R-I-S-T-A-N.
Tristan, well, still. I mean, are you sure your parents weren't trying to name you Tristan?
I'm not sure. It might have been.
It's an interesting name. My name is Pedro. Yours is Tristan, like a girl.
Vote for Pedro.
Now entering the studio is our second challenger from New Jersey. New Jersey?
Oh, from...
It's obvious.
From New Jersey.
Let's say hi to Aaron Killian.
Hello, Aaron.
Thank you. Hola, Pedro.
Hola. And now entering the studio is the host of Low Budget Jeopardy. Tristan and Aaron, don't screw with LQ.
Thank you, Pedro.
And say hi to Alex Trevecchio.
There you go. That's my guy.
Thank you.
Don't forget, Big cockfight after the show today.
Yes, you're invited with all of your friends, especially the one that has his wife gone away.
Thank you, Brad. Here are your categories, guys. Tristan and Aaron. Your categories are, and Rob,
yes?
Watch it.
Okay.
Not a word.
Okay.
Best spook ever.
Oh, it's for Halloween.
Yeah, right, but Rob would think something else. Yeah. Name that brew.
Bastardido.
And Scatty Stats.
Well, the whole thing is the same theme.
It's like Halloween, right? So it's best spook ever.
What will you be dressing as in Halloween?
You know, actually, Buzz has a Napoleon Dynamite costume. If I do decide,
the two could go together. Yeah.
That's good. I will be a fireman.
It's best spook ever.
And fuego.
Okay.
Name that brew. People like getting drunk at Halloween, and also Scary Stats. And let's see.
Good luck to everyone playing the game.
So they're both guys, so it's New Jersey versus Idaho. Let's give the guy in Idaho a chance first. Tristan, go ahead.
Sometimes, you know, Don.
What?
So, best book ever for what?
I dream about Napoleon's fat girlfriend, and then I change the bedding.
Yeah. Oh.
You know. I'm sorry to tell you that, but you feel like a father to me, that I can share these things.
You know what we call that, Pedro?
See, okay, who's going first?
Oh, Tristan, I think he picked. Did you pick best spook ever?
Yeah.
Good luck.
Best spook ever. He likes the blood. Do you like the blood?
What is a vampire?
Yes, we would have taken Dracula or vampire.
$1,
yes.
You're on the board and rolling. Tristan, please select again.
Best spook ever for two.
I always screw up his name. He's a good friend of mine.
Beelzebub.
Good friend of mine.
What is Saint? Satan?
Did he say Saint?
I don't know.
It sounded like he said Saint.
You people are so hard to understand. Aaron, it's your chance to see it.
Who is Satan?
There you go. That's right, my good friend Satan.
$2 for Aaron. Select again, please.
We'll finish out the category.
All right, best spook ever for three. He's either the star of the movie Halloween or Wayne's World.
Who's Mike Myers?
There you go. Right, right, right.
$3 for you, Aaron. You have a lead, and it's time to select again.
Name that brew for one.
Name that brew. Everybody likes having beer at Halloween.
Yeah. He makes me crazy.
The King.
Who's Budweiser?
There you go, of course.
Who
so
is
easy.
Budweiser? Like he's a person. It's dubious, though. Aaron, select again.
Brew for two. Here we go.
Brew for two.
The beer that made Milwaukee famous.
What is Milwaukee's best?
Negative. I'm going by advertising slogans here, son.
Tristan, your chance to steal.
What is Old Milwaukee?
No.
Again, same thing he said. No, it would be Schlitz.
Schlitz is the beer that made Milwaukee
famous.
Right. It is good beer. I like it.
Good. Enjoy the great taste of beer.
It comes in a bottle. Kurt Schenkel
used to say.
Chris Schenkel, yeah. I remember that. I'm actually 52 years old. Aaron, you're in control. Select again, please.
Finish the category, please.
All right, name that brew for three. It's miles away from the ordinary.
Ooh. What is Michelob Ultra?
No, negative. Sorry.
Christine, your chance to steal.
What?
He sounds like he is hitting a button.
It's like
Corona.
A quick thing. No, but you got the buzzer. Yeah, no, it's Corona, of course, miles away from the ordinary, but the buzzer got you. What, Pedro? Pedro?
Do you know?
I get the feeling you're going to say something very important, so let's just stop and listen.
I'm sorry to take the time out of your game.
It's okay. What would you like to say, Pedro?
Do you know what beer goes with good burritos and pot?
No.
What? Burritos and pot. Go with beer. It makes you crazy and hungry.
Uh-huh.
We better get back to the game now.
All right.
Burritos and marijuana.
Ah.
Get it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's in control?
I don't know.
Aaron, you're in control.
Hey, Aaron.
All right, the final category for one, please.
Scatty Stats. Fantasia can't read. All right, later she came out and said that she can't read. Here you go. The percentage of American adults.
Oh, Fantasia.
Who cannot read?
10%.
That was not in the form of a question.
Right.
Tristan, your chance to steal.
Hurry up, we are on the clock.
What is 10%?
Same thing the last guy. Second time you've done that. Take a dollar away from this guy. From
He will not be able to go to the final round if you do that.
Now, what do you think, Pedro? I leave it up to you.
F him. How about you give him half a point?
Keep his
dollar. Half a dollar, 50 cents. 2 quarters.
That's a good day. Is that a good day's pay for you?
Sometimes, after a big fatty, I will go to 7-Eleven and buy 11 burritos. Get it?
Yeah,
7-Eleven.
Right.
Bueno. Do you want me to take a dollar away?
Nah, I keep his dollar. I don't care.
Okay, Aaron, you're in control.
$2, please.
Stats for two. Half of us, this is a stat.
Yes.
50% of us will forget to do this Sunday morning.
What is go to church?
Negative.
Okay. Madre. Tristan, your chance to steal.
What is turn the clock back?
There you go, Tristan. It's
$3. And that is...
You didn't take the dollar from him.
That is the end of the first round.
One more.
We have one more category.
One more paid
I'm sorry, I forgot to wipe.
Oh.
And this is
every time.
This is what I know that you'll be able to relate with. Scary stats. It's the current minimum wage for a larger company in America. The current minimum wage for a larger company in America. We're using Infinity Broadcasting as the standard here.
Wait, this is final low-budget jumping?
No, we're not done yet. It's last question in scary stats.
Oh, that's for Aaron. Oh, no, it's for Tristan.
What is $6?
Oh, pretty close.
Aaron, your chance to steal.
What is $5.75?
Cats, no, it's $6.15.
Reba, that is the end of the first round of low-budget jumping.
And I also am starting to find it slightly annoying when Tristan talks that you get that before he...
Tristan, what kind of phone are you using?
Over.
I don't know, just a regular household phone.
Why does it click on and off? I hear the clicking sound. It's really annoying. Why are you doing the clicking sound?
I don't know. I'm hitting this mute button so you guys don't get distracted by background noise.
Oh, no, do not hit a mute button and don't worry about it. Just leave your telephone on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, all right, very good. Here we go.
In my village, they call me El Lobo Forgetto, the Forgetful Wolf.
I forget that Lobo means wolf.
I am famous.
Don't forget Lobo sang Me and You and a Dog Named Boo.
Blue.
So really it was a wolf singing about a dog.
Mm-hmm. Azul.
Bless you. Blue. Here's the category guys. Final low budget Jeopardy. God damn, this is rubbing off on me. This very low energy. This low output that we're having right now.
If we went to Nogales, I could get you a pill. It would help.
Oh, God.
He would help all of us. I love to take the pills and dance.
Here is your category, guys. Final Love Edge of Jeopardy. We physically force you both to bed at all. Good luck. Your category is history.
Do you forget to wipe?
Never. But your category is history.
I do all the time.
And here's the answer, guys.
So lazy.
This became... we're gonna go down that road.
That's what Napoleon said.
We should have started that a long time ago.
Just you.
Tell
me about it.
History. It became a national holiday in the United States in 1890. Okay? History, that's your category. This became a national holiday in the United States in 1890. Tristan and Aaron, answer in the form of question and good luck. And what's wrong with you? Thank you.
All contestants on the budget Jeopardy will receive an all-expense-paid vacation to my favorite resort south of the border. This is my favorite place to go.
Pedro says.
Because it is right off the highway.
Uh-huh.
It has restaurants, a pool, and games. And a wonderful gift shop. And you can fill up your tank and drive to Florida to eat oranges. Remember... If you go to south of the border, all your wildest dreams will come true.
Your wildest dreams.
Now back to final low budget Jeopardy.
Thank you, Pedro. Cash for you and me. It's time for Don and Mike to play low budget Jeopardy. All right, let's see. We want to go to, is it Tristan first?
Tristan is the man with this list, pesos.
Okay, here we go. Tristan, let's see. It became a national holiday in the United States in 1890.
What is Washington's birthday?
Negative.
I'm sorry, that knocks you down to zero.
Here we go. Now, Aaron, if you've got the answer, you're the big wiener.
What is Halloween?
Oh, see, I knew you would think that, and nope. Christmas.
Feliz Navidad.
Christmas, right. Jesus Christ. That means it's the type of game that Alan Linewand, our former general manager, would love or giving away no pesos today.
Nobody has won. Everyone is sad.
That means Tristan and Aaron, don't go away mad. Just go away. Here now is Pedro to tell you what you've won. Pedro.
You do not go away empty-handed. No. You should be very happy about the fact that both of you have won $20 Tower Records gift cards. Tower Records on Tower.com is the only place to feed your addiction to pop culture. Get your fix at Tower. Tower Records. Life. Play loud. I sell big amounts of gang to Kip and the Fonda. You remember Kip and his girlfriend?
Yeah.
They like pop.
Did all their wildest dreams come true?
When she arrived, all her wildest dreams came true, and his too.
We'll be right back.
Number 15 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
That's the right order. Let's see who got it right. And in the fastest time, Ted Patchell. Ted, how are you? Congratulations. All right, let's go. Ted Patchell, congratulations. We had five people from New Jersey in the fastest finger, and you're one of them from Somerdale, New Jersey. What do you do?
I'm a computer catalog salesperson. I take orders over the phone.
What did you do last night, Ted?
Actually, I stayed in and watched ABC.
All right. Your partner, Thomas, is up there. Hi, Tom. Yes. How you doing?
Hi, Regis.
Nice to see you. What would you do if you won the $1 million?
Pay off all the bills and splurge and go get a dozen pairs of shoes at once.
All right, fine. All right, good.
The Don and Mike Show.
If you haven't heard it, it's new to you. If you have, shut up and listen anyway. The best of Don and Mike.
Oh, Ted Patchell. Hi, Rita. I love that tape. Anyway, so there's a reason I played that tape. It's Friday. Time for a drink. Earlier this week, we played Randy the Peter Pan guy from the internet. And he sent in his CD, so let's give it a listen on the best of Don and Mike.
We're going to talk Pan.
Peter?
Yeah, time for P squared. Now, remember, Buzz, if you would please go to pixieland.org.
Happily.
This is a website that's been out there for freaking ever. But,
gay, but not too gay.
We recently discovered it. His name is Randy. He's 50. He listens to our show in Tampa Bay.
The world is a carousel of color.
And he is a real living Peter Pan.
Now, we grilled this guy the last time we had him on the show. We tried to...
about his sexuality.
Yeah, we really tried to figure out what's going on. And I know that I'm like everybody else. I left a little bit confused.
Well, we tried to pin him down, much like we thought he's tried to pin down children.
Right.
And as it turns out, that's not the case. Then we thought that he would try to pin down other fairies, you know, like Peter Pan. And no, he indicated he has a girlfriend.
He talks about the fact that he likes to go out to nightclubs and his various pixie-like outfits and try to impress women.
And if you go to the website, you'll see him wearing all of these Peter Pan outfits. And he said he was releasing an album, a CD.
Right.
And that as soon as the CD was ready, we would get one of the first copies.
And we have it.
And indeed, we have it today.
That is exciting.
And we will be, as I'm sure he's fond of saying, breaking the seal. As we cut it right.
And I mean, ladies and gentlemen, Don is cutting that open right now.
Go! There you go.
And we have not heard it yet.
And the letter says, Dear Don and Mike, my friends, thank you so much for promoting I Won't Grow Up, my first music CD. Would you open it up, please, Robbie? In addition to the encouragement that you bring me as a musician, blah, blah, blah. Children's Charities wants us to know that money from this queer project goes like to Make-A-Wish.
Very good.
On a personal note, it's a tremendous blessing to see how many people have been entertained and encouraged by my Peter Pan website. May God bless you.
Wow.
In your every endeavor. And please do stay in touch. Sincerely, Randy.
Randy is 50. And Randy likes to call himself a silly boy.
And then he writes on the bottom a note to Rob, who he refers to as Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Bob, feel free to play anything you like on air. And then there's the little happy smiley face, which,
nice.
Of course, indicates that, you know, you're not quite right.
Right.
I recall something from your last visit
that?
When you asked him his age and he was 50 and he said, I'm 5 because I don't count the second digit.
Uh-huh.
Ah, isn't that wonderful?
I won't grow up.
He's a silly boy.
He is. All right,
well,
he is silly.
Before we call him, let's listen to the first cut.
Please do.
I won't grow up. And look at this on the CD. Here he is wearing the suit.
And take a look again with those hands out there.
And take a look at the back, Mike, where he's just like posing in his backyard
in his
Peter Pan suit.
And it's his flying hands pose, which looks like he's drying his nails.
What is this?
Is this the record, Rob?
Hey, give me that guitar.
Oh, no.
It's creepy already, isn't it?
Okay.
I want to go to school just to learn to be a pirate and with that silly rule.
All right, let's.
All right, so it's the regular cut, you know.
What's cut number two?
The castle.
But are they all done with that Japanese drum thing?
Yeah.
Who wants to rock and roll? This is the tom-tom. Tom-tom.
Now let's play drums. I want to take a look at cut number nine.
Okay, let me see. Cut number nine is... the Tink Tink song.
Yes.
That's what he calls Tinkerbell.
Okay.
Oh, I thought it was about number one.
Yes,
is that what you thought, too?
Yeah, I mean, it just sounded dirty.
I'll tell you what, though. Everything's upbeat, and on your radio, it's always sunny. Sunny 96. The best mix of all your Peter Pan favorites. Okay, hold on. I think
that might be the hit. Believe
in
fairies. Yep.
We may have a winner.
Yep.
Because he's singing
Believe in fairies.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
Winner!
Here we go. I want to dedicate this one, if I could, to Todd McDermott. He loves playing guitar with his kids and is a really mannequin anchor at Channel 9. Can I just say two words?
What's that?
Branson, Missouri. Before we call them, let's hear number 12.
Okay, what's got number 12?
Right, I'm sorry, 11. Who is Peter Pan?
Yes.
This might be this is serious. It's kind of an introspective thing.
Ballad.
Hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Stop it.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Time.
A child within the man come by to remind you.
Father?
It's okay.
Who is Peter Pan? Who is Peter Pan, Father?
Let me pose with my nails out.
Hello, Opa. My Opa.
He'd like it.
Of course he would. God, the outfit was made for him. Are you kidding? This is a guy who used to work here.
Who is Peter Pan?
Who's rather Peter Panish.
All right, let's call him and tell him
it's a smash.
What a smash it is.
Yeah, absolutely. We love it.
Oops, hold on a second. One. What's the area code Tampa? 813? Right. Okay.
He's expecting your call.
And I said he was a listener. Again, I'm playing loose and fast with the truth. He listened to our show after we had him on.
Right.
Down in Tampa.
Real name, Randy.
Randy, as in Quaid.
Hello?
Randy.
Hey.
It's the Don and Mike Show. How you doing, Pete?
Going great.
It's Randy. Peter Pan, everyone.
Yeah.
The 50-year-old Peter Pan.
50-year-old Peter Pan. Now, we will not bust your chops like we did before about sexuality and children.
Yeah, you are, just for the record, just so we can just go over it quickly, you are a heterosexual man with a girlfriend, right?
I've got a few girlfriends. We don't need to go into all of them on
here. Can we just ask, when's the last time you got laid?
You can't ask that.
So you can't ask that. But it's
safe. Good, but it's none of your business.
But it's safe to say you do like women.
It's pretty safe.
It's pretty
just
safe.
Pretty safe. Is it a 100% lock?
Yeah, it's 100% lot.
Okay. Right. Is it your lock of the year, as the bookies like saying? It's my lock of the year, or all your plays this year are free. Okay, now that we know all of that, can you please tell us what the Tink Tink song is about?
Oh, it's about my best friend in the world, Tinkerbell.
And is Tinkerbell in your imagination, or is Tinkerbell somebody that you know?
There are a few actual Tinkerbells I know, yeah.
Really? Have you ever dated any of the real Tinkerbells?
Yeah.
you have?
I sure have.
You're a mysterious man, Randy. You know that, don't you?
Well, you know, I used to put, like, play-by-plays of every little relationship that came my way on the website, and I learned that's not a good idea.
Oh, you like when you would meet a woman and have sex with her or have a date with her, you would write all that, like, in a blog?
No, I don't kiss and tell, but I would put all about what we were doing, and then if there was a problem and we broke up for some reason, then it was like everybody's watching because you've got this internet presence.
Right.
And I got a small taste of paparazzi, so I decided, you know what, let me let my personal life, let's let the website lag behind reality.
Peter Pan, you live in Tampa now, but I always detect like a note of an accent. Where are you from originally?
Yeah, I'm from New York.
New York, yeah, a little New York accent there. So if anybody's
confused.
We bring
coffee and we talk.
Talk. I mean, you get a little of that from our from our Green Fairy.
Are you wearing your Peter Pan
Green
suit?
Fairy, that's absent.
That's right. Yeah,
sure is. Uh-oh, Buzz.
We've got that down at that Castle Club, second cut on the record.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if it's legal kind or what, but
you may have found a friend, Buzz.
Wow.
Me.
The absinthe buddy. Are you wearing your Peter Pan suit now?
Not exactly.
When you go out.
Part of it.
Don,
you got to follow up on that
one. Yeah. Are you wearing the tops or the bottoms or the hat or the shoes or what?
I often wear pointed shorts during the day.
Pointed shorts? Are they pointed because...
A little green outfit to look like kind of pixie-ish. Uh-huh.
So you're wearing pointed shorts right now?
Yeah.
And when you say pointed, you mean they're kind of cut off?
No, they're like point.
Where are they pointed?
Kind of like the Peter Pan top, but with shorts.
Oh, here we go. Well, like, yeah,
hold on.
See, those kinds of points.
Look at the picture of Peter Pan or Tinkerbell.
It's with this touch screen. It reloaded.
Did we ask you if you wear a cod piece like Robin the Boy Wonder had to wear? You wear a cod piece?
No, you didn't ask me that. Why would you want to know?
We're just fascinated with you, Peter Pan.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're pretending.
Too happy about the parts you're fascinated with.
You're hooked on Peter Pan, yet you are a 50-year-old man.
I'll be 52 in November, but I don't count that second digit.
Randy, I'll cut right to the chase. I mean, what do you do if somebody sees you in one of your outfits? You're going to be a 52-year-old man. You're walking into a club. Does anybody ever give you a hard time and just say, "Hey, what the hell are you doing?"
Sometimes.
And how do you handle that?
I smile in their face. If they got a problem, they're going to get thrown out. I mean, most of the clubs I go to, people are there to have a good time.
Right.
And if somebody's going to, raise a fuss, then they're going to get tossed out.
Have you ever been asked to leave a club because they think you might be causing a disturbance based on your silly outfit?
Yeah. Okay. That happened once.
All right. Wow.
Once over... You know, a lifetime really isn't so bad.
Not bad at all.
On your brand new CD, which...
As a matter of fact, if you don't get thrown out of a club once in a while, you ain't partying, right?
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Right, because you're a player. P-L-A-Y-A. Tell me something, homie. Cut eight. Hold on. No deadlines with God. Is this something we should play on the show, or is this a sad downer of a song?
Some of these songs are pretty deeply spiritual. Tone to the website. There's a connected ministry about that. It might be too mellow for your...
Hey, hold on. We'll give it a listen here, Pete.
The world is a carousel of color.
Here we go, from Peter Pan's album, Hold On, and then parentheses, No Deadlines with God. Hey, good afternoon. You're listening to The Fish. Moses in the afternoon. Holy Moses. 19 before the hour. And God bless you. You're on God FM.
See, I start so many things that I never end. And I wonder sometimes just when.
I got news for you. That is not the best cut on the album, Pete.
I like Tink, Tink, Tink better.
Yeah, Tink, Tink is a hit.
Some people like the upbeat stuff. There's some people who told me that Hold On was their favorite cut. So there's it's a pretty mixed bag.
What you like?
Jazzy instrumentals on there that are very different. You could play some of Deb's Move if you want.
Deb's Move.
Yes, cut three, Rob.
All right, that's an up-tempo one, Peter?
That's pretty up.
Deb's Movement. Here we go. How many of these do you hope to sell, Randy?
You never know.
Wait, what do you think? 50, 60?
A couple thousand.
All right, good. We'll help you do that.
Hey, we got a smooth jazz thing going this afternoon.
And there's a little island flavor through the whole thing.
Yeah,
right?
It's really got a Florida feel to it, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. You're listening to the album I Won't Grow Up by Peter Pan, 52-year-old man who says he likes women, but he also enjoys wearing pointed shorts.
Wear them right now.
Make him look like Peter Pan.
Don't be deceived by his fairy-like qualities and elfin appearance.
God, this is a long intro.
It's an instrumental.
Oh,
that explains it.
Yeah.
Do you play the instruments? Randy? Peter?
Yeah.
Do you play the instruments?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
All of them?
Now, what about...
Wow.
Do you play the flute?
Well, everything that I don't play, I hand compose on the computer, and I use sound.
You do it by hand.
And I use drum pads with my hands. And
oh, we have a producer that hand composes.
Now, cut number 10, I see, is only 12 seconds long.
That's just an intro to the last song, which is another mellow cut that 12 is like mellow.
It's just a little song to my fans and friends. Yeah. Tell them a little about me and what I'm trying to tell them.
That might be my favorite cut.
Don and I both reacted the same way.
I think that's a hit.
This is just a little song to my fans and friends. Tell them a little about me and what I'm trying to tell them.
What is your favorite cut, Peter?
I would release that as a single.
Mm-hmm. That's really hard to say.
Oh, now, sure. Come on. Now, really, you can give us at least. You've got to have a favorite.
I like Tink Tink song. Yes. I really like how The Castle came out. But
The Castle.
It's kind of long. I think...
don't forget pixieland.org if you want to see what he looks like. I know you're probably wondering. Buzz is on the page
and all
now.
His friends. They're fascinating pictures.
Buzz, how many photos have you... I know you've been looking at pictures of Randy with chicks and everything.
What would you say, Randy? Like 100 pictures on the website altogether?
Gee, there's probably about 4 or 5 times that by now.
Wow.
All the friends that have submitted photos. And
hey, Randy, you have any new outfits that you've been trying on? Like, the Blue Boy outfit?
I'm going to do some more of that soon. I just, having been working hard and getting that... the CD.
Anything you have in mind as far as new costumes? Ideas?
Yeah, I've got a few ideas. I'm working on a Harlequin costume.
Yeah, there you go. You don't disappoint, Randy.
This is just a little song to my fans and friends to tell them a little about me and what I'm trying to tell them.
I'm working on a Harlequin outfit.
I can't wait to see that one.
All right, Randy, as always, we are more confused than when we originally talked to you.
Uh-huh.
But the website is pixieland.org. We'll have a link on our website, and good luck selling the CD. How much does this baby run for?
$10.95.
That's a bargain.
That's a great bargain.
And do you fancy ruffles?
I love ruffles.
There you go.
And ridges.
Good man. Yes,
thanks for the free press.
Hey, anytime, let us know how it's doing, okay?
Will do. Enjoy.
Do you ever watch Will and Grace?
A couple of times.
Uh-huh. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Interesting.
Very good.
Thank you.
Let's leave it with that question mark.
Huh? You watch Sex in the City?
I watch everything. I don't have any hang-ups.
Really?
For you.
Do you ever watch something like, I don't know.
6 Feet Under.
What's that?
6 Feet Under?
I'm sure he thinks that's an erotic show, Mike.
Yeah.
Do you watch 6 Feet Under?
I watch a lot of TV these days.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
How's Richard Simmons doing?
No idea. I hear Emo is back. He stole my haircut.
Emo's back. We'll have to get him on the show.
All right, Pete. Randy, it's good as always talking to you. Thanks for being on the show, Pan.
Bye-bye now.
All right,
bye-bye now.
Good luck.
Bye now.
And then he, you know what's great about him?
What is it?
He takes the tone with us like, okay, give me a hard time. Go to his website. You'll understand.
This is just a little song to my fans and friends. I tell them a little about me
what I'm trying to tell him.
My fan. It's like we're trying his patience at the end. It's like, okay, guys.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, he's wearing the faggot clothes and singing about Tinkerbell.
He is.
And you really want to know how weird it is. Last week, he wouldn't come on because he was in L.A. on business.
Yeah. Yeah, Buzz. Now, is that a picture of him in a dress?
Ray, if you go to pixieland.org and you go to the Out and About page, you go about halfway down, you'll see him in his Catholic schoolgirl outfit. Because he's old man.
And not
the secure with that.
So he's dressed as a woman on the website.
Now, is that like his girlfriend on the left? In several places. He poses with many girls, many of them goth, at parties, and this club that he goes to called The Castle. I don't care.
There he is.
Can't spell castle without ass.
Yeah, there's something about that guy that cracks you up. Yeah, put on the outfit, you know, I'm Peter Pan.
Like, and then at the very end, yeah, okay, guys.
Yeah.
Right, okay, enough, that's enough, guys.
What, you think this is silly?
Little songs to my fans and friends. Yeah. Tell them a little about me. What I'm trying to tell.
Homo. Yeah, I'm working on a Harlequin outfit.
I'm nearly 52.
Yeah, you know, hey, I'm from New York, guys. Make fun all you want.
Hey, don't kiss and tell.
I have fairy-like qualities and an elfin-like appearance. Oh. Thanks for the call.
I'm wearing my pointed shorts right now.
Yeah, there's always a little
something. Go Yankees!
There's always a little something, you know?
All right, that's Pan. Yeah, so we promised that we would have him on the show when his album came out, and there you go, his CD's out.
Pan on the Zoo.
Hope it's not a failure. Hope he sells a lot, thank God.
It'll do fine.
Okay,
most days I wear pointed shorts.
Donna, my show. You think he has black socks and sandals on like everybody down in Florida?
It's got a Florida feel to it, Don.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Pan shoes.
Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Hey, did he ever use Peter Pan peanut butter for Rumpy Pumpy? Because the guy's got to be a homo.
Oh, dear.
That was too far.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
Listen, bring a single malted Glengarry for me and one for my boy Mikey here. And if you tell the bartender to go easy on the water, then this 50-cent piece has your name written all over it. Okay? I want you to run along because I'll be timing you. I'm going to keep time. One, two, three, four. What a asshole. Baby, that was money. Tell me that wasn't money.
That was so demeaning.
She smiled, baby.
I can't believe what an asshole you are.
No, baby, she smiled.
She's smiling what an asshole.
No. She was smiling at how money I was.
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
Right.
The best of Don and Mike.
And welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. I'm your host, Legendary Joe Arden, with you on this fine Friday afternoon. And don't forget, for all things Don and Mike, go to donandmikewebsite.com. Don and Mike returning Tuesday, July 11th from the brand new studios in Rockville, Maryland. Classic Rockville, Maryland. Let's get right back into it. Oh, no, it's always good with an idiot phone scan on the best of Don and Mike.
Hello, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Don?
Very well, thanks.
Mike?
Hi.
Hey, I'm calling them, basically complaining about Rob. Every time you play something soulful and funky, mm-hmm. he has attitude about where's the melody.
Yeah, yes, he does.
It's about a counterpoint. The bass carry the melody. Can he dance? Does Rob have any rhythm?
No.
Does Rob know?
Now, hold on. I'm not going to stand by and let my friend Rob be attacked here. Rob does have rhythm. Rob and I have danced many times, seriously,
uh-huh.
Rob and I have sung together, we've performed,
yes.
And musically, he's very sound.
Rob enjoys the stylings of Clay Aiken.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Rob and I have danced, seriously, rhythmically danced in this studio many, many times.
Lawrence Welk,
and
can
I
you hold
Boone,
hey, can you hold Rob?
Please try to move it into at least the last 10 years. Please. I threw out Clay Aiken because he's like the only, queer popular singer that I could.
He's president.
John Mayer. Fathers be good to your daughters.
He's not a John Mayer guy. He's a Toby Keith guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got one question for Rob when I get a chance. Rob. Okay, now you say you're 12% Jew, right?
You're 12% Jew.
I've said 12.5%.
Yes.
12.5% Jew.
You know, hearing is different than listening.
And we know that half percent is important.
Both are hard within themselves.
I often round up.
Okay, now you pro KKK, right?
Sure.
You're pro KKK.
Yes, I'm pro Hitler. Emphatically pro that.
Pro Hitler.
Pro Hitler. Pro Hitler, right?
Right.
Hitler,
he was good at the beginning.
Did Hitler hate Jews?
I'm sorry?
Well, you kind of hate yourself, right? Didn't Hitler hate Jews?
Wait a second. You might be onto something, Doug.
Yes. Well, now I have to agree with our fine caller that Rob is filled with self-loathing.
Yes.
Sadly, the comedy tapestry aren't coming unraveled.
I was going to say, isn't that the key to your big Jew comics?
Yeah.
That they're self-hating. And I'm talking now about
the key to all comics.
I thought you meant the series of comic books I put out.
No. Richard Lewis.
Gary Shandling.
Yes. Larry David.
Yeah, right.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Jerry Seinfeld might not let you see that he's self-loathing, but he's self-loathing.
Right. Rob Spulak's Jew comics.
That's right.
Did I tell you the other night?
Can I mention
about the book?
Yeah, you can.
Okay. He calls me that the night. And it's obvious that the green bottles have been out.
Right.
Not meaning absinthe.
Actually, not that night.
Oh,
it was
really?
just me being me.
Okay, let's say they were.
All right, so, well, okay, either way.
He was trying to soften you a little bit.
Either you had had some Heineken or you had not had some Heinekens. Calls me up and he says, I want to tell you something, that something very sweet's going on in the other room, that Carrie, Rob's wife, is putting Robert, their son, to sleep and reading him the book, Horton Hears a Who.
Okay.
And Rob said, and it was really great listening to her read the story to him, and Rob had the book in front of him and said, "What if you changed the word who to Jew?"
It changes the whole meaning of the story.
Yeah, Horton, right. Horton hears a Jew.
And yet all the poems still work.
And then he starts reading me the book.
Yeah, and you enjoyed it. It was a good story.
I would have liked to be on the receiving end of that one.
I'll call you next time.
I would love to hear you do that.
Yeah,
perhaps you could do it at the Christmas party.
I think that would be a great Hanukkah show this year.
Yeah.
that if we did a little Horton hears a Jew.
Sure.
For Hanukkah.
That's a wonderful idea.
I like that.
And we can all, enjoy our last show before the holiday. And perhaps forever.
Holiday.
Yeah. Oh, Rob Spiewak.
Do buy the comics, though.
Thank you.
Find it at 7-Eleven.
Yes. It was funny.
Yes.
It was funny. If you want to laugh, get the book.
I remember enough of the book,
well,
and I've had it with
Mike
to know,
and I remember as well from when Bart was little. You know, there's all the little who boys and who girls,
right,
who live in Whoville,
yeah.
And they get their nice who toys.
Right.
You were drinking? No, I swear to you, I wasn't.
A person's a person, no matter how small.
That's right. It was a good message.
No off switch there, Rob.
Thank you.
Always on.
There's no off switch there. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, peeps. Love you guys.
Hi there. Hello, people.
I have a theory about Ren Elvis or Reen Elvis, whatever his name
Reen
is.
Elvis.
Reen
well,
Elvis.
His, the funny accent that he has, you notice when you talk to him, he didn't speak with that strange accent. I think he's partially deaf or something, because it kind of sounds like a deaf person singing.
You know, I agree with you. I think there is just a little bit of that. It was 40 years ago.
What?
And no.
Like Mike?
Doesn't he have a little bit of that?
Like Mike?
Did you win a bit?
What?
Been up it. He put me to go. Evan did a concert, you know.
Hey, Rob.
Man,
where are my new comics?
They're coming into mail.
Yeah, thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you.
I don't know. Maybe Reynaldo does have a speech issue.
Well, we didn't ask him that the last time he was on the show because it didn't come up.
No. The last time he was on the show, incidentally, is also the last time he'll ever be on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. No need to visit with him again.
Probably.
So
I really don't think they were going to have the opportunity to speak with him. Hello, Don and Mike show. Much as I'd love to. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Okay.
Hey, Don. I'm looking at the pictures online of the day you guys burned Robert's stuff.
Yes.
And on the third picture down, there's a picture of you holding up a game or a movie, and it looks as if you may have wet your pants.
I have no idea.
It was a very exciting show.
I don't know. You know, maybe I got a wet spot
you think?
Yeah, you know, maybe I don't know the picture you're speaking about.
Were you perhaps attempting to put out the fire?
You know, I don't know. Hey, listen, it's no secret. When I go to the bathroom, I mean, because I've got kidney issues and bladder issues, a lot of times I'm a leaker. If I don't stand there,
aren't all guys a leaker though?
No,
once in a while.
But I mean, I get it all.
And
the
no
time.
Matter how much you shake and you dance,
no.
I really hold to that theory. No matter how hard you shake and dance.
All right, well, is that on our website?
Yes, it is.
Buzz, would you go to our website?
I'm headed there now.
I'd like to see this. And incidentally, what kind of, unless it's gigantic and large, and I can't imagine that it is, I've not seen it, what kind of a queer goes looking at a, I'm guessing.
No, it's quite large.
Who's the queer bait? His name is this guy.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I mean, don't you think, seriously, I mean, Don's being very honest about this with you. Don't we do have to turn the spotlight on you a little bit if you're looking in that particular area on these photographs.
All right, no, Buzz.
Hold on
just a second. Buzz, did you find the picture?
Yeah, I believe he's referring to the third picture down, but I believe it's a shadow or a difference in denim dye than it is anything else. It doesn't look like a wet spot to me. And
all right, would you take a look, Mike, and tell me? Yeah, let me see if I can get it off.
Yeah, Mike, speaking of wet spots, Mike, take a look.
Whatever that means.
Hey, screw you, pal.
Yeah. I'm not the gay man looking at men's crotches.
Hold on. Before I go to my computer here, I didn't get that. Speaking of wet spots, what would that do with Mike? What does that do with
Mike? Calling me a wet spot.
I call him Mike a wet spot.
Yeah, you want to come down here and call me a wet spot, pal?
Hold on. No.
No, you don't?
Yeah, no. Hey, Mike,
because I tell you, there's nothing that, you know. Yeah, what do you want?
O'Meara.
You got a question. La 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 la. You know, really,
can I just find the picture first?
Yes, absolutely. Please. But this guy's sitting here ball busting, and he's Mr.
No,
Agenda
Call. I got a question about O'Meara's.
Now, you just called me a wet spot. I'm not going to take your question.
Stop. I want to look at the wet spot on my pants,
there is
please.
A F stick.
Mike, I agree with you. He's a faggot. He's trying to see if I've got a biological stain on my pants because
right.
He's imagining where it came from. Let me see the picture.
Then. Right.
Okay, was it 1, 2, 3 down?
Third one down, I believe.
Third one down.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on a second. How do I make it bigger?
Can you blow it up? I think you know.
Rub on it. Make it bigger. you know, that is most likely. That is such a gigantic, I see it.
Yeah.
It's got to be a water spill. I mean, I would tell you if I...
That doesn't look like a traditional wet spot.
No.
A shadow to me, or a difference in denim.
Yeah,
but it got this caller excited.
I agree, but thank you for bringing it to my attention.
And you know what? I may be a wet spot, sir, but you're a stain.
I hope it brought you hours.
I like your phony laugh.
I hope looking at my crotch gave you hours of pleasure.
It did. A couple of minutes, sir?
Just a couple of minutes.
You stared at it for a couple of minutes?
No. Pleasure.
What other kind of websites do you go to? You go to scatlover.com, that kind of website? You go to,
check out my work at wetspot.com. Bigwetspot.com.
BA's website, thongedup.com.
Okay, good. Get out of here. I know that guy was pissing you off. I just wanted to see the picture myself, Mike. Give me a second.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it may have been like a water stain. I don't know whether it was necessarily biological in its origin.
Let me get my glasses out. Christ, I don't sound like too much of a friggin' old man. Oh, and incidentally, in case you're wondering,
yes,
that Lipitor is great.
Very tasty, is it?
Oh, yeah. Well,
I thought it was Lunesta.
No. When I went in for my checkup a couple weeks ago,
you were talking about it was the cholesterol.
That my weight is fine. My weight is great. My blood pressure is. As a matter of fact, look at me on the web. Look at that picture of me. I've lost 90 pounds. No wonder I'm
30 pounds. The last time I checked in with you, 30 pounds down, yes. 27 pounds down now.
Hey,
you know, considering Thanksgiving, that's pretty good.
That's going the wrong way, isn't it?
I know it is. It is good. Yeah, you know what?
Seriously.
Really, considering Thanksgiving, you're right.
You can get through that with only 3 pounds
over the holidays.
Ah, you'll get rid of that.
Thank you.
No All problem. Right, hold on a second.
Not if I keep eating those candy bars Joe gives me.
No, that's true.
I would say, and I got nothing to lose here. I don't care what any of you listening think.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely not me going to the bathroom in my pants. That is either... a spillage of water, or
yeah, you know what? I think that
a shadow.
You know, I think that picture should be removed because I accuse you of being too hot.
And I'll be honest with you, I didn't. I'm pretty. really pretty good about that, Mike, making sure that, well, first off, there were listeners here.
Yes.
So I know that I did not go into the bathroom.
You're careful.
Before that break, because you know me, I'm listener phobic. I don't like having any contact with anyone who actually listens to the show. So
the odds are
that I did not, although who knows.
Now it's going to be really scrutinized.
It could be a biological stain of another kind. It could be.
Was there anybody hanging? Well, Robert was there, but that he's not going to excite you in that way.
A nocturnal thing while I was awake.
But it was,
hello, Don and Mike show.
While you were awake.
I believe that it could be a shadow of what you're holding in your left hand.
Yeah, it might be.
Not sure.
I don't know, might be, but thanks for looking, faggot.
Looks like.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
See you later. Shadow of the package.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Number 15 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Alcohol is a way of life. Alcohol is my way of life, and I aim to keep it.
The Don and Mike Show. Like corn. Enjoy it a second time.
Yeah.
Second time. The best of Don and Mike.
Well, we're almost done with this day of Best of Don and Mike. Don't forget Don and Mike returning Tuesday, July 11th. I've been your host, Legendary Joe Ardinger, with you. Let's get right back into it, though. We have one more segment. The Idiot Phone Scan continues on the Best of Don and Mike.
Now thousands of people are running to the internet to stare at your crotch.
Well, there you go. Maybe one of you out there will know what to do with it.
Very good.
I think you know who you are. Hello, Don.
Send it right
show.
To the tabloids.
Hello.
Hi. I was just wondering what happened to the show there. It got bleeped out. Did you guys bleep something?
Okay. Did they say because I went to the bathroom in my pants?
It was right after you said, I've lost a lot of weight. I look great. And then something about it just.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Here's, I'll say it again. Jeez. You know, I swear to God, this place can just. Mike, for instance, am I and Mike, everybody not allowed today to talk about the story about the guy on the United Airlines flight to Dulles?
I've only watched that on every news channel, and they've talked about it in detail.
The guy stood up, had a drink, unzipped his fly,
and the way I heard it on a news channel, he relieved himself.
Yeah.
It happened. It's a news story. They stopped the plane because the guy did this.
Right. What I said was, look at me on the website. Go ahead, look at my crotch, but look at how much weight I've lost. And then I said, hey, who knows, maybe I did messy in my pants. Is that okay? Will you not delete that out? I believe at that point I was saying that there would be the possibility that it could have been.
Or it's just a moon shadow.
Pee-pee.
Well, I have to say, I hope you guys give me a reason to buy a new radio for my car. So
stuff
doesn't happen anymore.
Okay, right. I keep waiting for that. Bye-bye.
Save your money.
Actually, I do keep waiting for that. Hello there, Don and Mike Show. And don't delete that stuff out. Whoever's on the dump button upstairs today, please. Hello.
Yeah, I was Chuck from Tampa.
Yes.
Hi, Chuck.
Homo every time you talk to people.
Well, generally speaking, if a guy calls up and he's looking at a picture online of me and he really has to get a magnifying glass to find the crotch, I would say he's a faggot.
Now, that is explanation number one. Explanation number two would be we mentioned it a lot because maybe we kind of lean that way.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, do you not like gay listeners?
Do you listen to the show?
I listen to the show, but I hear that all the time.
And yes, as you know, we hate gays. That's why we use the term. Thank you. I'm glad we could clear that up for you. Just another in a parade of idiots.
What is the deal? Is it because we're getting this massive low-pressure system sweeping across the nation?
Where are you calling from? He hung up. He was all the way in Tampa Bay.
It's coming across the midsection of the country.
See, there's not even the need now to get into the defensive crouch about that. I mean, forget it. Yeah, that's absolutely why.
Right, right.
That's why we do everything on the show, because we hate Jews, we hate blacks,
right.
We hate homos.
Right.
And, but most of all, we hate goddamn white people.
We're not being silly in any way. We're not trying to be funny.
No.
We're really not. We're trying to be dead serious.
Homo.
Like Bill O'Reilly.
Take it serious.
Homo.
Hello there, Don Mike Show.
Don, I had a question for you.
Yeah.
Paint your wet spot.
Hang on the show because we hate Jews, we hate blacks,
right.
We hate homos,
right.
And but most of all, we hate goddamn white people.
We're not being silly in any way. We're not trying to be funny.
No,
we're really not. We're trying to be dead serious.
Homo,
like Bill O'Reilly.
Take it serious.
Homo.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Don, I had a question for you.
Yeah.
Paint your wet spot?
Why? My wet spot grows.
By the way.
Paint your wet spot?
Do you paint your wet spot?
By the way, something sick. Well, you care. Well, you care.
Why you care?
Jeez. Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Mike the Greasy.
Hello.
Radio gods.
Whoa.
I genuflect to your grace.
Right, howdy. This guy's got a power amplifier on his phone.
Hi there, what's up?
This question is more for Rob. I wanted to know, what was he baptized? Was he baptized, what religion?
You know, they're lining up today.
Yeah.
I swear to God, they are lining up. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Las Vegas.
It was amazing, sir. You weren't there, but they attempted to baptize me Catholic, but my body rejected the water.
Uh-huh.
It just sizzled, and then my body became hot to the touch, and it was all my parents could do to get me out of the building.
You ever see the movie The Omen?
He's covered with what appears to be, now he's lucky that we live in a tattoo society,
yeah, right?
But actually he's covered with the markings of the devil.
Yeah, they tried it a few times, and then they just gave up. They took me home, and I played with my tricycle up on the second floor.
Yeah, but there's so many sixes on his skin, it looks like actually a Riddler suit.
He's talking in tongues and spitting out green pea soup. Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's like. You were there then.
Naked, I look like Matthew Lesko.
Hello. Don Marcio.
Don?
Yes, hello.
Don?
Yeah, what?
You said, you know, like listener contact, but you were over at my house baking cookies like 5 days ago, you freaking jerk.
You know, again, I'm going to say to you,
there's a line around the block today.
You listeners today, and I don't think that this guy has any venom in his heart. I just
I don't.
What this guy needs to do is find his local 555 ha-ha,
right?
Go down to the banana peel or whatever they call the laugh factory in your house and work out the material there.
But I think that would be irresponsible because I can hear her in the back room. It is obvious to me that his mother requires care.
She's screaming for me.
Shouldn't you tend to your mother right now?
But listen.
No.
Okay, goodbye eating the cookies.
Goodbye, Rupert.
Rupert Pupkin.
Mom,
I'm calling the show.
Ma. Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how are you?
Hi, fantastic. Really glad I came in today.
Sure.
How about you?
Great, thanks.
You know, I had debated just laying in my own stink today. You know what? Nah, I think I'll get up. Clean up, wash up, drive to work, come in.
Just like that Sam Adams beer, always a good decision.
Thinking about it. Hello, what's up?
I just wanted to make a comment that I hope that Rob's on-air deal doesn't change. I love his behind-the-air comments. That's a great part of the show.
Thank you. I appreciate your attempt to embrace the language that we use in the country.
And the broadcast lingo. Behind the broadcast.
Behind the air.
Behind the air.
Yeah, Rob will.
Actually, I think over the course of Rob working here in the studio, he's been behind the air quite often.
Rob will be, hey. I don't fart as much as I used to.
That's true, Don.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, I'm a Jew. My mother was a Jew. Albert Einstein is a Jew, but Rob Spiewak is no Jew.
Oh, my goodness.
Is this Mike the Hanukkah guy?
This is Mike the Hanukkah guy. How are you guys?
Hello, Michael.
Hey, Michael Hoffman. Hello, my friend.
Back from Israel?
Yeah, back from Israel, yes. My daughter had a daughter.
Applause.
He's a grandfather.
Very nice.
Listen.
Congratulations.
Are we gonna get Mike in here for his Hanukkah before the holiday?
Yeah, it's going to be, since Hanukkah comes late this year, right, Michael?
No, Christmas is early.
That's what I meant. We're going to do him the last week before vacation, so we will have Hanukkah celebration just a little early.
And I think we should all eat jelly donuts that day, yes.
Well, that would be wonderful. Now, if Rob reads from Horton Hears a Jew, I'd like to read from Gary Gets a Goy.
Gary Gets a Goy. That is awesome.
All right, we'll see you on Hanukkah, Mike.
All right, thanks very much. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It's Mike the Hanukkah guy.
Yeah, Gary Gets a Goy. I like that.
A goy.
How are you?
We had to find out what a goy was. We didn't know.
Way back when we did. We've known goy for a long time.
Yeah, but he's the one who told us, right?
Is he the one that originated that?
Yeah.
I knew goy before that.
Yeah.
Yes, is that right, Jay?
Jay. Yeah. Hey, hi, Cameron. Yeah.
Hi, Jay.
Hey. Got a mic. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
You're on the air.
What's up, man?
Track lighting, my friend.
Okay, listen.
Yes, you're next
I
in
love
line.
That gag.
Yes.
I'm one of the chosen few with the Xbox 360. I know you were going to talk about it today. How you feeling about it?
I'm loving it. What would I not love about it? What do you want to know?
Are you just into Madden, or are you playing anything else?
Oh, no, I'm having sex with it.
Oh, okay, great.
Bye-bye. Although it goes against my principles.
Right.
I'm having to use the back of the machine.
Yes.
Sometimes that's true.
Your comfort is Microsoft's priority.
Let's do this. If we do this now, later in the show,
yeah,
we'll all be happier.
I agree.
I guarantee it.
All right.
Okay,
let's
so we'll try this right now, okay?
All right. You say later in the show we'll all be happier?
Yes.
I agree again.
Well, I think if we break now, we'll have more time later in the show.
We tend to get bunched up when we go long in the first hour.
That's what I think. Using the noodle. That's
brilliant there.
Look at that.
I thought you were really... Are you hitting your actual head?
Yes, I'm hitting my head with that.
That's you're going to hurt. You're going to leave a mark. No, you're
very hard head, Mike. Very hard head. And that's not all. Look at my pictures on the internet, chicks.
You keep doing that, you're going to look like that eating guy on CSI last Thursday night.
Oh.
And thank you all very much for making me watch that.
Is it the greatest CSI of all time?
Without question.
If you've got a T-Bode, the one that they ran on Thursday night, on Thanksgiving night, is the hands-down, stomach-down, grossest CSI ever.
Do you know sometimes when I go running out of here and I'm looking for like a candy bar or something, do you remember when the guy was asking for a hot dog after the competition was over?
Yeah. Right.
That's exactly what I'm like in the hallway.
Where's the candy bar? Come on!
And then I start hitting my head up against the wall.
All right, well, this is old Wet Spot.
Yeah. And Wet Spot.
Well, no, come on, I'm Wet Spot.
Yeah, but I was called Wet Spot. You had a Wet Spot. I was called a Wet Spot. In that triumph of that first segment of calls.
I allegedly had a Wet Spot.
That's right.
No one will really know except, well, tonight the sniff test when I get home and check out the pants.
I'm W.S. O'Mara.
Okay, no, hold on. What about, it wasn't, how about DP?
DP.
A drinking problem.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Are you still going to go with it? And that is
cirrhosis of the liver.
CL.
CL. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Oh, I blew that. That's right. Okay, Rob. Rob gives me that school marm look.
CL. CL.
You should know
joke
it.
Work.
Go parachute somewhere.
All right, this is Wet Spot.
And this is CL.
Sorry, we're out of time.
No. Drat, yes, sorry, we're out of time. That's it for this day of Best of Don and Mike. I've been your host, Legendary Joe Ardinger, with ya. And as you drive home, you can groove to that tune. Anyway, Don and Mike returning Tuesday. That's right, Tuesday, July 11th. I will see you guys on Monday, though. So everybody be safe and have a good weekend. Weekend's here. Drink a can of beer. I love you, Tracy, baby. And I'll see you all next week. Take care, everybody. Goodbye.
Till we meet again, Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice. And I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.